Talk Show.
Recorded live.
In an effort to promote free speech, the Nim Nuts Radio Show does not censor its broadcasts. The statements, views, and opinions contained in our programs are those of the individual hosts and participants and are not necessarily those of the Nim Nuts Radio Show, its owner, or other broadcasters. Free speech. It's more than just words.
And I'm always like, yes.
Portions of today's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
And just as Speaker Gingrich surged into contention here in South Carolina, a direct, fresh character attack on the Speaker. And Mr. Speaker, I want to start with that this evening. As you know, your ex-wife gave an interview to ABC News and another interview with the Washington Post, and this story has now gone viral on the internet. In it, she says that you came to her in 1999, at a time when you were having an affair. She says you asked her, sir, to enter into an open marriage. Would you like to take some time to respond to that?
No, but I will. I think the destructive, vicious, negative nature of much of the news media makes it harder to govern this country, harder to attract decent people to run for public office, and I am appalled that you would begin a presidential debate on a topic like that. Every person in here knows personal pain. Every person in here has had someone close to them go through painful things. To take an ex-wife and make it 2 days before the primary, a significant question in the presidential campaign, is as close to despicable as anything I can imagine. My two daughters wrote the head of ABC and made the point that it was wrong, that they should pull it, and I am frankly astounded that CNN would take trash like that and use it to open a presidential debate.
As you noted, Mr. Speaker, this story did not come from our network. As you also know, it is the subject of conversation in the campaign. I take your point.
John, it was repeated by your network. You chose to start the debate with it. Don't try to blame somebody else. You and your staff chose to start this debate with it. Now, let me be quite clear. The story is false. Every personal friend I had who knew us in that period said the story was false. We offered several of them to ABC to prove it was false. They weren't interested because they would like to attack any Republican. They're attacking the governor. They're attacking me. I'm sure they'll probably get around to Senator Santorum and Congressman Paul. I am tired of the elite media protecting Barack Obama by attacking Republicans.
Yes, and that is how you really do an intro. And this is the News Guy Show, and this is the News Guy. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and we're here for at least 2 hours, a very fun and exciting show we have planned. This is a very interesting night as we are on the eve of the South Carolina primary and the opening news is that Newt Gingrich has won the South Carolina primary. Yes, the first news, as reported by Felix in New Jersey, he's calling it, he's reporting that from Fox that Gingrich has won the South Carolina primary. And so it is a very interesting thing to see that, let's see here, okay. Yeah, yeah, because Gingrich was he rose to the front of the pack back, if you remember, last month, and then he got into some problems, and then Romney and Santorum kind of got it out, and now all of a sudden Newt is having this rebounding effect, and it's very interesting to see. Romney really hasn't been doing a very good campaign. If you notice with this guy, he comes off as very brittle, very easily shaken. There was an incident not too long ago with Romney on the campaign trail in New Hampshire where this reporter challenged him on some advisor on his campaign, who used to be a member of Bain, which was Romney's old corporate company that he used to work for, and Romney got all flustered and really got into a very heated argument with the guy. And then when it was over, and the whole thing, this press event was over, he went back to the reporter and dished it out with him even further. This was all caught on camera, it's a very telling psychological aspect to Romney. If you've noticed that in the debates as well, when Rick Perry, had it out with him over some incidents about illegal aliens and whether Romney employed illegal aliens in his home, and Romney got into this whole thing where I'm speaking here, you know, like this. So it does show something about the guy, and I don't know, you know, if Romney becomes where is it here? I'm still speaking. Hold on, let me play this little clip for you here.
We have the lowest number of kids as a percentage uninsured of any state in America. You have the highest. I'm still speaking.
See, so there you go.
We have the lowest number of kids as a percentage uninsured of any state in America. You have the highest. I'm still speaking.
So there you get it. I mean, there's a lot of this type of thing. Where he just goes around and does this type of thing. And he's not I can just imagine him being in a debate against Obama, and Obama would have to do very little to set this guy off. And he would come off as being very uptight, very brittle, and Obama would just be just Mr. Suave and smooth and slick and just Mr. Cool Guy, and that would be it. And, just on the character alone, I think that Obama would just win, because that's really all that people really pay attention to in these debates. They don't really – very few times do they ever really debate the issues and, get into that type of stuff. It is like Felix in New Jersey is saying. He sounds very nervous. He can't be trusted, and yes, and the intern is in the house, and he says, yes, Obama's a pretty good bullshit merchant, and that's pretty good call on that. And just as a little side note, because people are asking about the guests, and I'll get into this whole thing in a little while with what happened with Pastor Lindstedt on his show last Sunday, I'm taking a precautionary measure for blocking at least guests. If you are registered and you have an account with TalkShoe, you can post no problem. But there was an incident with with Pastor Lindstedt, which was hysterical to listen to, where people were flooding his chat room and then they took over his show. But I wouldn't like that to happen to me. So I'm thinking that at least if you're registered, you know, and you're a get, at least you're, if you're registered and you're familiar with the show, then you can be trusted. But if you just come on as a guest, I don't need anybody to flood the chat room and get into all of that type of stuff. And I just don't need that kind of a headache. So so that's that. And I'll just I'll get into that a little bit later with what happened with Pastor Lindstedt. So anyway, back to the politics whole thing. Yeah, it is pretty funny. It is pretty funny, so we'll just have to get into that. And I don't know what's happening with Van Wadi either, so we'll just get into that a little bit later also. And, of course, we'll be talking about Jacob Zuma. For some reason, Jacob Zuma, he wants an aircraft carrier. I don't know why, but we'll just get into that a little bit later. But back to the politics. Yeah, so Newt, you know, he's on a rebound, and he was always very, I mean, if you remember a while back, you know, I don't know, it's very strange. Okay, well, okay, Pete Dembski, a while back, he put up a link to something on the internet, which was, it asked you a series of questions, and then it matched up your answers with the different candidates, and it weirded me out, because the guy who matched me the most was Newt, and number two was Michelle Bachmann. So I don't know what that says about me, but that kind of weirded me out. I thought it would be more like Ron Paul, but because that's the guy who I most like, and I'm very sad to see that all of this is not really happening for him. But what can you do with the way that the political climate is in America? But yeah, so anyway, at least when I answered the questions as honestly as I could, given the options that were available, I matched up Newt Gingrich number one. It was something like 53% or maybe 55%. I matched up with him the closest, and then Michelle Bachmann was number two with like 53% or 52%, something like that. So very, very strange. Yeah, very, very strange. So anyway, yeah, so I don't know what's going to happen. I think, you know, because the next one up is Florida, and I don't think that Romney's going to win Florida. I think that Romney is his campaign at this point is now falling apart. He really hasn't run a good campaign so far. He really has had an easy time of it so far also. All of the media has been focusing on these flavors of the month, the Herman Cains, the Rick Perrys, the Michelle Bachmanns, these people who rise up to the top and then just get shunted to the side over one little scandal. And all the while, Romney's been sitting there and never really getting any of those votes from those candidates who drop out. I mean, he's sitting there with about 20-25% of the Republicans, and it never grows. And this bubble just moves from candidate to candidate, and that seems to be the Tea Party bubble that they're just looking for somebody to latch onto. And it really is a shame that they are not latching onto Ron Paul. You know, he is more or less the godfather of the Tea Party. Regardless of whatever anybody wants to say about some schmuck on the floor of Wall Street talking on Fox News with that whole pre-scripted and pre-planned event that happened, that was not the start of the Tea Party, you know. And it really just kind of points to who was really controlling the Tea Party and why the Tea Party was set up. As a winnowing process, if you will, as a mesh to keep out the elements that really would have done something to change the political system, but would never be able to get through because of this craziness that they put up with the Tea Party. So anyway, drinking a little water. Anyway, Paul is becoming like Lyndon LaRouche as the intern, the perennial presidential candidate. Well, yeah, except Ron Paul, he's not going to run again. I mean, he's 76 years old, so. And, you know, there was one time not too long ago, somebody asked him if he could see himself in the White House, and he said no. So at least he's being honest about these things. But, you know, the whole thing is, I know I'm kind of jumping around, at least keeping on the political thing, but, you know, this whole thing that happened this week, just a couple of days ago, where the final count of Iowa happened, and it turns out that Mitt Romney did not win Iowa by 8 votes. No, it was Rick Santorum who won by 34 votes. But the one point that kind of got glossed over by all of this was that there were 8 entire precincts in Iowa that were not counted. For some reason, the votes disappeared. And nobody can find them, and the final count has happened, and even if they do find those votes, and we're talking several thousand votes, you know, maybe, I don't know how many thousand votes, because I was looking for the information, and I couldn't find it. I did find it in one article about this, about these missing precincts, and that the Republican Party is not going to count them. But, you know, it just says something about the whole thing. I mean, it's like, you know, people always talk about Diebold. People always talk about electronic voting. This is going to be how the fix is in for these elections. But this election, this caucus in Iowa, had nothing to do with electoral voting. I mean, electric voting, computer voting, nothing like that. It was all by hand, you know, and all of this type of thing. And guess what? They just decided 8 precincts, or I don't know, they decided. Okay. Well, they did. They just didn't find 8 precincts. So there you have it right there. And, you know, who's to say, you know, maybe if you counted those 8 precincts, maybe Ron Paul would have come up from behind and won by 8 votes. I mean, if we're talking, because he was really not that far behind, even though he was a third place candidate, he was only behind by a couple of thousand votes, so he might have been able to have gotten first place if you counted in those 8 precincts, and we'll never know now. So, you know, so it, to me, it just says that the fix is in. The powers that be who want this whole thing to continue the way that it's going. They're not going to let it happen. They're not going to let anything mess it up. So, you know, and Florida, you know, the Florida, well, okay, I don't think that even Ron Paul was going to put any money into Florida, but I don't think that, you know, he was going to win there anyway. I mean, you know, anyway, so it's a little bit of a situation there. So, and then what's he going to do now? He's going to focus in on Minnesota. He's going to focus in on some other libertarian-leaning states. You know, that's not really going to win anything. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, he'll be able to hold on to a significant number of delegates. You know, he'll be able to. Do something within the convention to get his agenda onto the platform. But at that point, I think it will just be co-opted. I think that these guys, they're all for cutting back on entitlements. But what are entitlements to these people? I mean, you listen to talk radio, and they consider unemployment benefits to be something akin to welfare. You know, and it's not. You know, when you get your paycheck every week or every month. I get a paycheck every month. Here in Iceland, it's a monthly paycheck. It's not weekly, but in America, it's mostly weekly. They take money out for something called an unemployment insurance fund. That's your money going into this fund, so that if, God forbid, you do get fired from your job, you can get that resource to see you through until you find another job. But the Republican Party is putting that as something like entitlements. So when you hear the word entitlements, that makes you think of some DMV clerk getting all uppity and screechy, like a very militant Michelle Obama. I hate to use that type of imagery because it is, you know, borderline racial, but you know, it is true. I mean, when you hear the word entitlements, you think of some, you know, who was the woman on Sanford and Son who was Aunt Esther, you know, like some angry Aunt Esther with a scowl on her face going, "I gets my entitlements," you know, like that type of thing. And, you know, and it's like, "I'm going to get mine," you know, and that's not it at all. It's something that you've already put your money into, that you've had, that you've earned, you've worked for, and that is being taken out of your paycheck, and that you deserve, that you do get back if the money is there and if you need it. It's not socialism. It's not taking from the rich and giving it to the poor or anything else like that. But now they're going and making it seem like it is that. And I think that what would happen, or what is going to happen, is that, you know, they'll just co-opt Ron Paul's message of the austerity measures. You know, they're not going to go after the foreign aid. They're not going to go and look at what's going on with military spending or anything like that, which is what they really should be doing. You know, and just reassess, you know, just reset all the foreign aid to zero, and then reassess, why is this money going to this country? And that's it. You know, and okay, you maybe with some nations you take into the special relation, you take into account the special relationship you have with them. For example, like with Israel, and you know, even Rick Perry, when he was at that debate from the Jewish Republican Coalition a couple of months ago, he got up there and he basically said the same thing that Ron Paul says about resetting the financial aid to all the foreign nations. And Rick Perry said the same thing about, you know, resetting the money that goes to Israel for financial aid. But he made a difference between financial aid and I forget the word again, emergency aid or essential aid or something like that. But there are different types of monies that go to these foreign countries, such as Israel. So, you know, he made a differentiation between those types of monies. And that's really all we're talking about. We're just talking about a reassessment and to see why this money is going to these countries. You know, do we really? Why is it that the United States needs to bail out the European Union, for example? You know, these are questions that we need to ask, and nobody is asking them, and nobody and if it goes on like this, Who's to say that that it'll just get worse, or it's not going to get better? So this is the whole problem that we're dealing with. So it's not a good situation, I don't think. I don't mean to sound like a pessimist, but you know, that's basically the way that I see it. I think that Ron Paul's agenda for austerity measures will be more or less co-opted and just put into something that is not really what should be done, you know. So, because it's like I said last week, who is getting the money and why are they getting the money, you know? And if you cut back on money that goes on different programs or spending on government spending, are you going to cut back on the government spending that is going to help people, or are you going to cut back on this? Are you going to do things to the budget that actually benefit the people who don't need it? You know. So this is all right. Let's see here. One second. Okay, Visser went nuts. Yes, on Tuesday. Okay. I don't know about that. Well, I don't know why. Where did Visser go nuts? So, now, this is an interesting article from Josh Gerstein from Politico, and Felix from New Jersey, he put this up in the chat room just now, and it just says, in 2006, Gingrich backed censoring the web. So, if you remember, this week, there was this internet protest against the SOPA and PIPA bills, which I've gone over them tremendously, and more or less they're copyright laws that would give a tremendous amount of power to copyright holders over websites, and to the point that even if you linked to something on your website and that link went to something that was a copyright, the copyright holder would have the right to knock your website offline. So now, you know, it is an interesting point because at one point you don't want, you know, it's like, okay, look, if you're making bread, if you're making cars, you don't want people to come in and take the bread or the cars away from you for free, right? So, you know, you don't want, at the same time, you know, you want to make sure that people do get the money that's coming to them, but at the same time, you don't want that power to be used to infringe on what could be, what is the political power of the internet. With the internet, Ron Paul has had tremendous online presence, and he probably would never have gotten anywhere if it were not for this tremendous online presence that he's had. Barack Obama, he also was able to use the internet to his advantage and beat out Hillary Clinton, you know, and Hillary Clinton was, if you want to say it like that, I mean, Hillary Clinton, you know, she was more or less pegged to be the person who was going to get the nomination back in 2008. So there was a tremendous use of the internet to help Obama win his election. So it is a very, and also look at Occupy Wall Street. You look at how the internet was used in the Arab Spring uprisings. And other instances of political force, the Tea Party, even, you know, the Tea Party has used the internet to its advantage. So, you know, this is the whole thing. If there's a website, right? WikiLeaks. Look at WikiLeaks. You know, I mean, the list goes on and on as they pop into my head, but we've got a pretty long list of uses, political grassroots and political activism being used to change things on the internet. Now, let's just take WikiLeaks, okay? Now, these files are being distributed. Now, maybe, this is just what to say, as a theoretical thing, I don't know if this would actually be true or not, but let's say the U.S. government says we own the copyright on those documents, on all of those diplomatic cables, you know, because they came from us and they were published by us and blah, blah, blah. And they would make some argument that they were the copyright holders, even though there is no copyright, you know, and then they would just shut the whole thing down, just toot sweet. And you'd never hear anything about what happened anywhere with the WikiLeaks. You probably never would have heard of it at all, maybe about for one day or something. Let's say like Occupy Wall Street, downtown Wall Street, okay? All the videos, all the audio that's gone down there. That park is privately owned. The owners of the park could say, aha, they're filming in our park. We are the owners of this park. We have an implied copyright over the use of the image of our park in video and what have you. So we're just going to shut down anything that's being filmed and put online. So you see, this is the way that these bills could be used to stop these efforts. You know, I mean, I'm just taking off, you know, very, very, very. They're not concrete copyright issues, but they could be used in that. These bills could be used in that manner, and if these examples were actually used, right, then to go through the whole process of going through the courts and arguing this and saying, well, this is not correct and blah, blah, blah. I mean, that would take months. That would take a lot of money that grassroots activists probably don't have. You know, so this is the problem. This is the problem. So, you know, so that's why. So anyway, long story short, getting back to this article, in 2006, Gingrich backed censoring of the web. So, Josh Gerstein, he says, on Thursday night's debate in South Carolina, Newt Gingrich painted himself as a friend of free and open internet, but in the past he's talked up pretty radical proposals to curtail free speech online. The question Thursday was about the Stop Online Piracy Act, legislation that has the support of the entertainment industry and powerful members of the House and Senate, but is now on life support after running into a firestorm of criticism from internet users, tech companies like Google, and activists who shut down websites in protest earlier this week. So back in 2006, Gingrich argued censoring the internet would be the right thing to do when it comes to Islamic radicals who use the web to organize jihad against the U.S. Oh, that's right. Yeah, I remember about this. Yeah, and this is the quote. We need to get ahead of the curve rather than wait until we actually literally lose a city, which I think could literally happen in the next decade if we're unfortunate, close quote. Mr. Gingrich said during a speech in New Hampshire, according to a story that this guy Gerstein wrote for the New York Sun at the time. Continuing with a quote, Gingrich said, We now should be empaneling people to look seriously at a level of supervision that we could never dream of if it weren't for the scale of the threat. So this is a serious long-term war, either before we lose a city or, if we are truly stupid, after we lose a city. We will adopt rules of engagement that use every technology we can find to break up their capacity to use the internet, to break up their capacity to use free speech, and to go after people who want to kill us to stop them from recruiting people. So, you know, this is, you know, but, and that's the whole thing. I mean, you know, the whole war on terror and, you know, all of that. It's a very interesting thing to see how that goes on. But, let's see here. Okay. All right. Let's see. Okay. All right. So, okay. Now I'm looking at this. All right. So, you know, it does come up to something that if you're going to look into it like that, it could be very, very interesting to say the least. But all right. Now I'm going to maybe switch gears because I've been talking about that for about a half an hour now. What happened last Sunday and the reason why I have blocked all the guests, which, you know, I think if there are people who are guests who can be trusted and somebody can vouch for them, I will unmute them. But I'm a little bit apprehensive at this point about letting guests post. Because what happened last Sunday, now normally I don't listen to Pastor Lindstedt's show, but I don't know, I guess I had the day off or whatever it was, the Monday prior or whatever. But I just decided, all right, I'll give it a listen, see what's going on. And it was a very good thing. I was very glad that I tuned in because it went completely crazy He had a severe wigger problem. And it started pretty early in the show. About 57 minutes into the show, you could hear somebody playing with the microphone, because what he did was, not only was he allowing people to post, guests to post automatically, he was allowing people to automatically come up and start talking on the show. He didn't, in other words, he did not block people from speaking. This was something that I encountered when I first started to use TalkShoe. If you remember back when I first started using this, I didn't know about that whole thing. And UF was always calling into my show, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he'd start blabbering and, you know, talking and all of this kind of stuff, and I'd have to silence him. I'd have to mute him. So then I figured out, I opened up the hood on the TalkShoe and figured out, okay, this is what I'm going to have to do. I'm going to have to mute people from calling in and allowing, and I can allow a chat. So let me see here. Guests have to register to prove they're not trolls. That's right. All right. And it really isn't about so much about trolls. I mean, as you've heard from the show before, I have, and here comes John Doe 201237. So this is the guy who was doing the problem before. Anyway, where was I? So I can unblock it, but he not only did allowed people to post. But yeah, TalkShoe recommends shutting down guests and then opening up the chat to you know who, to who you know and registered names. Right, that's what I'm doing right now. So, so he was allowing people to also just speak on a show. He wasn't muting everybody. So, John Doe 20137, no, that was definitely you who was doing that to Linstead's show. So, anyway, so here's the first clip from this. You can hear it a little bit. You can hear that somebody was playing with the microphone. This is about 57 minutes into the show.
In the ruins of Solomon's Temple, and therefore we must do this, we must do that. Go ahead.
The Jews have gotten their power and the money. Up to around the 1650 or so, they're all sitting in a bunch of ghettos. They've been in the trash reserve bank. So they can really make money out of thin air.
I'm talking about modern Zionists.
My mind.
I sort of think the modern masonry, I think the modern dispensationalism, that's like modern Zionism. Well, for all latecomers, just a new test here.
So what was going on, the guy who was calling into the show, whoever this guy was using a voice modulation program to disguise his voice. So he was sounding very low, and very low voice like that. And it was very funny. I mean, you can hear it. It is very funny, to say the least. Then he came back on, and Marty kept hanging up on him, or if you want to say muting him, because there really is no hanging up on people here, but if you want to say muting. So he kept muting the guy, and then the guy would just leave the chat, close his browser, and then come back in. And every time he would call into the show, Marty would zap him, the guy would close his browser, come back in, call back in. And this went on and on. The guy at one point started to rap Eminem, and it sounded like this.
Too many people know the truth. When Joseph Smith was killed in that jail there in Carthage, Missouri, he said, "Oh, where my God is there? I can see
him."
He was the very last second whipping off the Masonic distress call. Oh, Lord, my God.
Ma'am, okay. This is Brian Rio. You had one shot or one opportunity to achieve everything you ever wanted. One moment. be captured at this moment.
He ended up having all four.
No.
Hey, Russ, let me go ahead.
That was what happened then. Now, Marty started to fight this guy, and this went on for some time also, but this was also pretty funny what happened.
I'm like Tommy Garcia. I'm in the bed and I start ripping her ass. Right? place where it was, thrown her over the furniture.
So that was there. And this kind of died out for about a half an hour. Then Mona Montgomery, if you guys remember who Mona Montgomery is, she called into the show and she started to talk with Pastor Lindstedt about certain things. And our Wigger friend came back in during that, and it sounded a little bit like this.
It's a good similarity because equating him with made up, there's a lot I can see that they have in common. You're right.
So, by the way, I am watching the chat as this is going on, and there are two Frankenwiggers. There's Frankenwigger with a W-H-I-G-G-E-R, and there's Frankenwigger with a W-I-G-G-G-E-R. So, fake Frankenwigger with the without an H and three G's. We're kind of suspecting that that guy is Chat Nuker. He started to flood the board. I got him cut off. I kicked him out. So, unfortunately, if we're going to be playing these games, this is the way that it's got to be for a while. What are we going to do, right? So, it was funny at first, but then it becomes goony, says East Orthodox Mamzer. I have to agree. But then Marty got really angry about the Wigger. And he let his opinions known while he was talking with Mona, and this was what it sounded like.
Have you noticed this John Delta 1, 2, 3, whatever?
I know.
Have you noticed this nigger doesn't take the hint?
I know.
He didn't take the hint. Well, he seemed to have taken the hint after being professionally blocked, blocked here. He goes ahead, he sees he's been muted here. A couple times when he hangs on, he gets unmuted. He immediately goes ahead and gets muted. He gets only about 5 seconds of nigger babble.
Right.
Especially he's gone here. Finally, it wasn't because he couldn't take the hint. It was because he wasn't getting anywhere.
Well, I think we should isolate ourselves, definitely, but I don't think we have to go violent for that.
Mona, how are you going to go ahead and ask the nigger or two to please behave? Please behave? You know, here's old John Doe, 201-237. And what happens? I said, I'm immediately putting my mouth.
One day,
my mouth
will rise up and live on the true meaning of this creed.
Yeah.
It's actually a full John Doe number. I mean, if I was able to go ahead and send a thunderbolt down the lightning here, what would do is go ahead and yell the blind, the stupid nigger. Do you think you go ahead and call back again?
No, but I don't think it's said that we can take on as many people as we're looking at.
So there you have it. And John Doe 201237 was named by Marty as being the spammer. So, and then all of a sudden he left the chat. Let's see here. Then he called back, the spammer called back, and this one was also pretty funny. He called in as Lindstedt's grandson, and he said the voice modulation went up instead of down, so it sounded like this.
Tell me this, sir. In politics, about students, I might have given myself up, you know, may not be, the N-word. What do you got here? I'm a Nimbuster. I like trolling. I was in the rest of my list there. I'm a 10-year-old. I'm a good 6 years. Yes. Marty's a chomo. He's a pedophile. Try to molest me, you know what I'm saying? Well, how did it happen? Yeah, it happened back in 2007. Marty, you know, I was sleeping and stuff, you know, and this nigga came into my family.
Because Unblock Lloyd in North Minnesota. Okay. 1 second. Before I do that, I just want to wrap this up a little bit. And then we'll let on Lloyd. We'll let on Northern Minnesota. Northern Minnesota doesn't seem to want to come on for some reason. He's been like that for the last couple of weeks. So if he wants to call in, if he wants to speak, you know, just Northern Minnesota, if you want to speak, put something in the chat that you want to speak, and I'll let you on. But what happened with this was that I didn't really explain it correctly. They did flood the chat, and when they flooded the chat, because this whole chat program is run on the Flash, it's run on the Java, which has a certain cachet of memory, and because they were flooding it so heavily, they ate up the cache on Marty's computer, which knocked it offline. It made the Java applet inoperable, so he couldn't mute the people when they were calling in. So the guy just called in and took over the show. And Marty had to shut down his computers, reboot them, and the whole thing. And that took about, I don't know, it took a long time. Let's just put it that way. And it was pretty bad for a long, long time. But then this guy, I don't know, one guy was Andreas Wilhelm Donner, and he is from the Northwest Front. And there was another guy, and the two of them called in, and they kind of rescued the show until Marty could get his computers rebooted and everything. And maybe I should play a little bit of it just to let you guys hear what happened with that.
I got some jokes here. I got some pedophile jokes here. About Martin. I got some modernistic jokes. One do a pedophile and a turtle happy Thomas. They both want to get there before the air does. What do you do after making a 4-year-old cry, whack your bloody dick off on her teddy bear?
You can get off.
You can get off. You can get off. Your ass down,
motherfucker. Please. What's that? I don't speak nigger, sorry.
Hey, motherfucker, I'll kick your ass, bitch. I dare you to say that to my face. Give me your address, mother.
What is it like? It must be like really late out there in Atlanta or something, huh?
Yeah, motherfucker. I'm hanging out with my homies this shit, nigga.
What's that?
I'm hanging out with my homies, nigga.
No, I don't speak that.
Look at these motherfuckers. Come on, white man.
Man, you got a lot of static. You better, like, get off.
Hit me, motherfucker.
Are you calling in with Skype?
It's not like a business, bitch. After you get off. After you
get
off.
Nah, I called in. What's that?
Let me get some wine kill from you, motherfucker.
So, after... after that happened, the spammer decided to stop speaking. But then he called back playing dog sounds and rap music. And it was very, very funny, I guess. If you want to hear it, here's a little bit of it.
The most level hardware is fantastic. That's just great.
Yeah.
Okay, I swear to God, they have to do business.
Usually they get bored within about 5 minutes.
Good time, neighbor.
So as you could hear also, they do believe, first they were thinking it was some guys named Jet and John. I don't know who they are, but then they said that it wasn't Jet and John because those two guys are having a fight with each other or some sort of thing like this. But then they do believe that it was Pastor Visser. So I don't know. Pastor Visser is having another feud again with Pastor Lindstedt, and they're just going crazy with each other. So they believe that it was Pastor Visser. I don't know who it was. In fact, the TRP studios, they did some forensic studies of the audio, of the voice recordings with their technology, and were able to decode the voice that you heard. It was very interesting to hear, but it doesn't sound like any voice that I recognize. Some people were thinking that it might have been UF, but it doesn't sound anything like UF when you hear the voice decoded. So I'm going to play a little bit of one example of the voice as it was modulated, and then I'm going to play a little bit of the voice decoded. So here's the modulated voice.
I like that trip turned upside down, and I like to take a minute to just sit right there. I'll tell you how I became the prince of a town called Bel Air. In West Philadelphia, born and raised on the playground where I spend most of my days, chilling out, mixing, reacting all cool, and all shooting some b-ball outside of the school when a couple of guys there up do no good.
Okay, so there is the modulated deep voice of the wigger, and here it is decoded.
And I'd like to take a minute just sit right there. I'll tell you how I became the prince of a town called Bel Air. In West Philadelphia, born and raised on the playground where I spend most of my days chilling out, mixing, relaxing, all cool, and all shooting some b-ball outside of the school when a couple of guys there up do no good started making trouble in my neighborhood. I got in one little fight, and my mom got scared, and I said, "You're moving with your auntie and uncle in Bel Air." I was so forecast, and when it came near the license plate said fresh, and I had a Dyson mirror. Is there anything that I could say that this cab was rare? But I thought, nah, forget it. You're going to Bel Air. I pulled up to the house about 7 or 8, and I yelled to the cab, go home, smell you later. But then I came down. I was finally there to sit on my throne as the Prince of Bel Air.
So there you have it. Now, I don't know. I've never heard that voice before. He doesn't sound like anybody that I've heard on any of these shows. It's certainly not a voice that's called into my show. So I don't know who that could be. People in the chat are saying that it was Visser. Like I said, that's just something that the two guys, Andreas Wilhelm, said, and Andreas Donner, he said that, and I don't know who the other guy was. So I don't know. I don't know who it was. So very, very, Visser does not sound like that. Okay. Mystery Man says Visser does not sound like that. So, and Rio is medicated. It maybe was Rio. I don't know, but I don't think it was. Doesn't sound like Brian Rio. Let me hear that again. Maybe let me hear that again.
And I'd like to take a minute just right there. Just sit right there. I'll tell you how I became the prince of a town called Bel Air.
No, that's not Brian Rio. I don't think so. Yeah, it's very, very strange. Not really sure. So anyway, so that's that. Now I know that. I guess what I'm doing is I'm going to take a little break, and then when we come back, we will have the Time Lord on. And we will get into some other things, and it'll be a lot of fun. But let me just play something here. Let me see here. Let me play. I don't know. I don't know. What do I want to play? Not that. I don't know what I want to play. I have a lot of music, but I don't know where they want to play any. Okay. Well, this one is because if you remember, if you guys who listen to the TRP show, at the end of the show, well, the end of the show last night was pretty funny, as Felix in New Jersey remembered, because the two of us were going at it on Facebook. But Cheryl called in as usual, and John stepped away from the mic, and Cheryl ended her monologue a little early and then hung up the phone, and John was nowhere to be heard, and that lasted for more than 10 minutes, just complete silence. So, you know, and John just kind of walked away from the mic, didn't even tell Cheryl that he was gone. So but the week before, he played some clips of him when he was a kid, and apparently he was friends with Jim Carroll, the beat poet. And this song is from the Jim Carroll band. It's called Catholic Boy, and after this, we'll be right back.
But met my mother's band. Then I passed in that surgeon and his trembling hands. When I fell up the lot, I was worth the reward. I stole the box and the gap when I flipped the cord. I was excited and annoyed. But to end my pain, not to joy. When I was 2 months early, they took me under the glass. I screamed and cursed that children when the nurses passed. Was convicted of that when I slipped from the womb and let me send to my mother to a cell in the tomb. I was a classless boy. I was revenge the pain, not the joy. It started me for weeks. That folks that teach me fear. I fed on cell-made dreams that gave me fine ideas. When they cut me through, that China served me well. I made allies in heaven. I made comrades in hell. I was a Catholic child. The blood rain red. The blood rain white. I
my enemies. Like tragedy, God knows it's destiny. I'm a Catholic boy.
Catholic Boy, and this is the News Guys Show, and we're back, and we're going to bring on the Time Lord, Lloyd Davies, 2011. Welcome aboard, Time Lord.
Hello, Pneumonian.
Yes.
How's everybody doing tonight?
Doing good. I'm doing good. I heard that you called into the Pastor Linstead Show on Tuesday.
Oh, you mean Thursday? Yeah, I called in and talked to him for a little bit. You know, we just had a little chat, nothing big or nothing. We just talked, probably for about 30, 40 minutes.
Cool.
Yeah, I was listening to that. What's that?
Yeah, what were you guys talking about?
Just some things. He was kind of going through his stuff and everything. I asked him about, I made a suggestion to him after Sunday night's show that he get like maybe Frankenwigger or Northwest, Comrade, or somebody to be kind of a co-moderator for his talk show. Maybe somehow he loses connect. Frankenwigger, that other guy, can kind of take over the show until he gets back on. I think he's got some older computers that don't keep up with the JavaScript in the talk show when the chat gets flooded and everything. And because, you know, my computer didn't jam up or nothing on Thursday night. It just, you know, kept scrolling, but it didn't lock up or anything.
Yeah. Mine eventually scrolled. It screwed up. I forgot. It was like so early in the morning over here when it finally just froze up, and it was I was still able to hear everything, and the chat was still going. It was just I came up with some error on the screen, and I wasn't able to type or anything like that. So I just let it sit there. I was just enjoying the broadcast, you know, and hearing what was going on. And then of course UF, he called in after all of that craziness happened, and I forgot to include that in my synopsis. But, you know, I don't know, because he was thinking that maybe it was UF. Linstead was thinking it was UF, but I don't think it was, because when Linstead was talking to UF, the guy was calling in, this Wigger spammer, was calling in and trying to disrupt the show even then. So.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me when I'd sit there during the days when I'd listen to more ham radio operators on shortwave, how they would play music and jam the Liberty Net on 3950 and everything. That kind of reminded me that was going on. Linstead was getting jammed on his show.
It did kind of have that feel. I've never really listened to ham radio like that, but I've heard the stories and I've heard some of the audio from when who was that guy? Kevin Strom. When there's like, I'm sorry.
Yeah, from the Liberty Net.
Right. And there are some MP3s of this where people were jamming him and threatening his life and all of this type of stuff. So I've heard those MP3s, and it did sound similar to that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Anyway, I just called in. I just want to talk to him for a little bit. We had a pretty good call. I asked him how he's getting along with his lawsuit with the city and everything and all that. He talked about that and this and everything else. So, I mean, you know.
That's good stuff. Yeah.
But anyway, I wanted to cover a couple of items. It was some breaking news before the show started that Joe Paterno is about on his deathbed, apparently.
Oh, that's good.
What do you mean good?
Pedo, pedo enabler. I'm glad he's dying.
Well, you don't know how, you know. I mean, I understand what you're talking about, but, you know.
Yeah.
I,
this guy Sandusky is raping little boys in the shower. Paternal. He paternal.
Wrong.
He hears about it. He does nothing.
Well, true.
Yeah.
But what do you think about that guy who on the cruise ship? He ran. He left the captain. Left the cruise ship over in Italy.
That's horrible. That is horrible. I don't understand how people can do that.
He needs to be guilty.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a gelding knife and all that stuff on his show, when I was on, he was mentioning how he wanted to give the people in his town a gelding. I think that guy deserves the Pastor Lindstedt gelding of the week. Is that cruise ship?
Oh, yeah. That's right. And then I'll have to do a little intro for that. The Pastor Lindstedt gelding of the week.
We could give it as a weekly thing.
Yeah. Like who deserves to be gelded this week?
Oh, there's another guy that needs to be gelded down in after the Alabama LSU game.
Uh-huh.
Alabama fan sexually assaulted a person to unconscious a LSU fan in a Crystal's restaurant down there in New Orleans after the game.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm. Into unconscious.
I don't know the whole thing. It was on a video, and the guy turned himself in, and he got fired from his job at Hibbett Sports and everything, and he turned himself in.
Oh, well, okay.
That
is terrible. But by any chance, was the attacker African American?
You know, I didn't even look. I didn't even look at the video or any of the pictures or anything myself. I don't know.
Okay.
But I think that's just terrible. I mean, you know, that's just like over in other countries, or like down in Brazil and Bolivia when they have the soccer matches where people get trampled to death during a soccer match.
Yeah.
You know, that's terrible. That's about as bad as that. I mean, you know, it's a game, especially college football. I mean, it's a game. You know, it's over with. Go home. Shake hands like gentlemen.
And it's just supposed to be fun.
Yeah. I'll tell you what happened a few years. Yeah, I'll tell you what
you're
happened.
You're supposed to.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what happened a few years ago, up here in where I live. You know, Alabama and Auburn have the Iron Bowl every year.
Mm-hmm.
And people bet on them games. Well, one guy was crazy enough to bet his farm estate on the outcome of the game, and he lost.
He literally bet the farm.
And he lost, and he went out and shot himself.
Oh, that's terrible. That's terrible.
Yeah.
But how do you bet the farm? You know, I mean, you hear that expression a lot, you know, you bet the farm. But
yeah.
When you bet the farm, and then, I mean, how do you, you know, I mean, I don't know, if I bet the farm and I lost, what is the legal binding contract? Just that, you know, there is no paperwork signed or anything.
Well, you know, I don't know. I've never bet on stuff like that, so you know, I don't know. I mean, you know, but it's just crazy.
I think so. Sounds
it's
like
crazy.
It.
But
yeah.
But anyway, it looks like let's see who I
what
think,
do you
won
think
primary. Newt Gingrich won the primary.
Yeah, I was just looking at this. They're saying this is from Human Events, Powerful Conservative Voices. It says Gingrich projected to win Born Again in South Carolina, trailing by more than 20 percentage points just a week ago. Based on exit polls, former House Speaker Newt Gingrich is projected to win the first in the South primary in South Carolina. Multiple news organizations such as ABC News and Fox are now reporting. So they're saying that Gingrich's debate performance has swayed many. Which, you know, really, I mean, when he really stood up for himself at the beginning of that debate like that, that was really something. I mean, and I think that if he goes into a debate with Obama, I think Obama's going to have a little bit of a problem with that guy.
Probably so.
Yeah. Yeah. But, because he doesn't pull his punches. He really gives it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But wanted to say hello to the intern and Paul Dembski and Franklin Wigger and Felix in New Jersey.
And everybody else there, Hiram, Mystery Man, Senor Zero, Zog Buster. Are there any new things going on in the Dalek world?
No, I haven't heard anything this week. I really haven't checked, to be honest with you. I really haven't checked. Maybe I'll try to check that next, you know, and report in. But I haven't heard much on the Dalek world. But anyway. Somebody should have, just to be fun, somebody should have gone on that show Sunday night and talked like a Dalek.
That would have been funny if somebody did.
You know, that's the one few times that I don't tune into the show because, you know, I think I had a bad headache that night. I went to bed early and didn't even think about it till the next day, and I downloaded it Monday afternoon and listened to it all. It was like a 4 or 5 hour show, you know, and I listened to the thing. But I'm laying on the couch there about an hour into it, there's this, you know, voice comes on there and starts talking over Lindstedt and everything, and I'm like, what in the world is going on?
Yeah, you know, it's absolutely.
I don't understand all that.
Yeah, I just don't understand it. I don't know why people would do that to him. I mean, you know, well, you know, Lindstedt is into having a lot of feuds with a lot of people.
He does.
You know, he's always finding something bad to say about somebody. You know, and he's really. Did you see the picture that he has of Eli James? He has this picture of Eli James next to another picture of some rabbi in Chicago lighting a giant menorah with Rahm Emanuel standing next to him.
I think I've seen that picture.
Yeah, so he and the rabbi looks a lot like Eli James. So, but, you know, you never know.
Yeah, I don't know. I've listened to Eli James a couple times. He's just boring to me. I just, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. Yeah.
I don't know
why he has a problem with Eli James, because that other guy that he's always got on the show, what's his name? The guy who's kind of like a co-host, he calls in.
Boy, I don't listen to that show enough to know who his co-host, Eli James' co-hosts are.
No. Lindstedt's show. He has some guy.
Russ Walker?
Russ Walker. Yeah. Russ Walker. But, you know, Russ Walker has a different view of this interpretation of the faith than Lindstedt does, and Russ Walker has a more a friendly view towards the Jews, and so why does Lindstedt tolerate Russ Walker and say, oh well, this is just a difference of opinion, and yet he despises and is waging war against Eli James?
Well, you know, I don't know that.
Yeah,
I don't understand why that is, you know. But, I don't know. But, anyway, Brian Rio hadn't done a show in quite a while. I don't know what's up with that.
I don't know what happened with Brian Rio.
I think you need to get Cheryl and Mona Montgomery on a call together. Good rock. They could go at each other for about an hour. I mean, talk about Jesus and everything, and, you know.
I don't know. I don't know if they would actually agree to that. That would be an interesting, interesting combination to say that.
Yeah. So when's Frank gonna do his movie?
I do not know. I do not know. We'll just have to wait and see how that documentary turns out, because Return to Turtle Island is still in post-production, so we'll have to wait for that to come up.
Prisons or something?
Like Concentration Camp America?
Yeah, I heard you talk about that the last show.
Yeah.
That's interesting. So Frank going into kind of... I hope he doesn't turn into some Alex Jones and make all these movies and stuff that Alex Jones used to do. Alex Jones used to come out with all these movies and stuff. Prison Planet, Police State 2000, and all that stuff he used to have.
Yeah, and then he's always just selling them all over the place.
Bohemian
and
Grove,
if you look,
and all that.
Yeah, and then when he's selling it, when you're listening to a show, he's always giving out like some special offer for buy three, get one free, give them out to your friends. You know, it's a little too much. And even if you do cut out all the commercials, you're still left with this guy talking about his videos, buy my video. And it really is a lot of the show is just him screaming about buy my video.
Breckenwigger said something about Rio. Rio tried to send info to the defendants on John Britton's lawsuit and that John Britton is a drunk and drinks while flying. I think Brian Rio is trying to interfere with a lawsuit of somebody.
Okay. John Britton's lawsuit. Brian Rio tried to send info to the defendants in John Britton's lawsuit and that John Britton is a drunk and drinks while flying. I don't know who John Britton is. So.
He's Pastor Brunstedt's pastor friends, I think.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. The first thing the FAA does in a plane crash is test for alcohol. That's what Frankenwigger says. Interesting. Yeah. They might test for prescription drugs also.
Oh, well, they'll test for a lot of things.
Yeah.
But anyway. I was trying to think of something else to talk about tonight. I guess that's pretty much. We got Joe Paterno. He might probably pass on next day or two, probably.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to be shedding any tears.
Oh, I heard something I heard something funny on the radio today.
Uh-huh.
There was some gossip they said on the local radio station this morning about, you've heard of the Kardashians?
Yes.
You know, when I first heard them, I thought about the Kardashians, you know, the aliens that were on Star Trek Deep Space Nine. but the Kardashians, Kim Kardashian and all them. Well, supposedly there's a rumor going around that O.J. Simpson is the father of Khloe Kardashian.
Uh-huh. Okay, I don't follow the show too well, so I don't know who Khloe Kardashian is.
I don't keep that stuff anyway, but I just thought it was interesting. I woke up early this morning and.
Oh, I heard something about one of the Kardashian sisters not being, like, she was like, well, she was like the father was the same, but the mother was different, or the mother was, I don't know. It's like, maybe this is the one. I don't know if it's Khloe Kardashian, because I don't really know it, but I heard something about one being only a half-sister. Let's just put it that way. But I didn't hear anything about O.J. Simpson being involved with it.
Yeah.
O.J. Simpson. So does this mean, all right, they've got like delegates now. I'm looking at the list here. And, okay. So now with the delegates, they're saying that Gingrich won all of the delegates. I don't know.
Oh, cool. Yeah. How's Ron Paul? Is he doing better, or did he come out all right? Or
no, I don't think he's. I don't. You know, he's not doing very well. He didn't. He came in third, but that's about it.
You expect
him
to drop out sometime soon, or?
No, I don't think he's going to drop out. I mean, it'll probably be after that Super Tuesday thing.
Yeah.
If he is going to drop out, it'll be after that Super Tuesday thing. But he might take it all the way. He might take it all the way to the convention, but I think people will try to stop him before that. They're, you know, going to put the full court press to stop him from doing that.
Yeah. I think it's down to what, four now? Santorum, Newt Gingrich, Mitt Romney, and Ron Paul?
Yeah, it's the four of them.
Yeah, I think that's it now. I know Rick Perry dropped out this week, and John Huntsman dropped out, and Michelle Bachmann dropped out right after Iowa caucus.
Yeah. So... Well, we'll just have to see. I don't know. I think it's just going to be Obama 4 years, another 4 years for Obama.
Well, I hope not. I hope not. I mean, honestly, I do. I hope not.
That would
be horrible.
Yeah. You're not a fan?
Of Obama? No.
Yeah.
Doctor Who episode I watched that was on here a couple years ago where the Daleks and the Cybermen were both on Earth, and and the Doctor had to side with the Cybermen to fight the Daleks. That's about how I feel these presidential elections. The lesser of two evils. That's the way it's been. As long as I can remember, it's always been a lesser of two evils you vote for. It's no really right person or wrong person. It's always you always got to pick the lesser one, the one that's going to take you down the go down the hole the slowest. I guess you know what I mean.
Yeah, I do. Definitely. And one side winds up throwing the election to the other one, it seems, also.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. But what was the one? Oh, yeah, there was something with Newt. This guy, Manning. Do you remember this guy, Pastor Manning? He was the one who came out and said Obama's a long-legged Mac Daddy and all of this.
I don't think so.
Well, he's a black preacher out of Harlem, and he has a radio show, a TV show, or something like that on the internet. And so now he's going around saying that Newt Gingrich was really black.
Oh, Lord.
Yes, I got a little bit of a clip here, so I'll play it for you, just so you can hear it.
Because Newt's real name is Newton Leroy McPherson. That's when he was born. Now, listen, nobody on the planet names their children Leroy except black people.
So, there you go. Because he's saying that because Newt Gingrich's middle name is Leroy.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. Maybe that's a Southern thing, you know?
Well, I don't know.
Hey, what do you think of this whole mega upload arrest?
Well, you know, I kind of took it as a shot on that because it's in Australia. It was run by a person in Australia or somewhere, wasn't it?
Yeah, New Zealand or something like that.
Now, does that mean that we have the FBI has global authority to go and arrest somebody in another country for running an upload site?
Sounds like it. I mean, the FBI, it's very strange, the whole FBI thing. I mean, if you remember what Hal was doing, he was supposedly working for the FBI, but he was going around all across the world, you know, going down to South America and meeting with people down there for the FBI.
Yeah.
So they it's very strange.
I just don't understand how they could have that kind of authority.
Yeah, I don't know either.
That's what the World Criminal Court they wanted to pass several years ago, I think, wanted to have global authority over certain laws and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, to me, that's not right.
No, yeah, it does make you think about things, you know. But I guess, you know, and also, you know, not to, well, I guess maybe to be the devil's advocate on this kind of a thing, but, you know, how do we address these issues when we have a smaller, the world is getting smaller and smaller, you know, because of the tech, you know.
Sure.
So how do we address these issues? If somebody is doing something in one country, even though it's on the other side of the world, but because of the internet, it really is like they're next door. You know, how do we take care of those problems?
Yeah, iPad 3 is coming out in March, supposedly.
I'm sorry?
iPad 3.
Oh, iPad 3. Yeah. Well. Did you read anything about the mega upload, like how this guy was living and how the people were living? I mean, they were like living incredibly, like, you know, rock star lives. I mean, they were just like, you know, Rolls Royces, the fanciest cars, the biggest mansions, you name it.
Dang.
It was very, very interesting to read all of that.
Yeah.
Just on some upload site.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, that's probably what they got busted for, you know, because of all that selling stuff about a copyright and all that stuff, you know?
Yeah.
That way.
Yeah. And then they got some, they got like a whole bunch of celebrities to endorse them. And there's a song that Kanye West and P. Diddy and Chris Brown put together, all like singing the praises of Mega Upload.
Huh.
And there's Serena Williams and all of these stars are on this video, and they're all saying, "Oh, I love Mega Upload. I use it for everything." So obviously they were paid to say this, but it's just very. But if they are being ripped off by Mega Upload, why are they endorsing Mega Upload, you know?
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's hard to say.
Yeah. Doesn't make any sense to me.
No, it don't. What happened to that Vancouver guy? He isn't on tonight. What happened to him?
I don't know. He just all of a sudden he just started hating me, and I don't know why he started hating me, and then but there's no way to really, you know, kind of get back at him or anything like that, because he puts his show on lockdown, so you can't really get at him.
Yeah. But somebody on the NIM board, I think it was Stan. Have you been reading the NIM board where somehow I've been offered to moderate the Cocksuckers Lounge?
I don't know why you would be able to what is the point of moderating the Cocksuckers Lounge?
Well, now supposedly he said he would let me have complete authority. He'd let me rename it and everything. So what I'll do is I'll ask Stan to rename it Lloyd's Dalek Empire or something.
A Targ Corral for the Targ Corral. I don't
know. Because he said something about in his own, when I get, if he's on form, then he can stick you the Movement Turd and all that other shows.
Any of the any show that is followed by the board, he will stick you.
Yeah.
So. I said, would you sticky on the domestic front? And he said yes.
Yeah.
And he'll sticky TRP.
Yeah.
Which is good.
I don't know.
And somebody just posted this on the board. He says, "I hate to say this, but I would vote for Obama to keep Newt out of the White House."
Oh, Jesus.
So, And then somebody responded saying, Obama is the safe bet because at least you know he isn't going to do anything. He's a typical N-er. And then somebody says, at least you know what you will get with him. You could seriously fuck up this country.
Yeah,
it's not so good. Now, they're saying that Ron Paul came in fourth.
Yeah.
It's very depressing.
Well, you know, yeah, the media doesn't hardly give him any kind of coverage, do they?
No, not at all. But, you know, South Carolina does have a big military presence down there, and so maybe his whole thing about pulling out of all these countries doesn't really settle well with them, you know.
Probably. Then they'd have to come home and find jobs and all that stuff. And
Right. And that wouldn't be very good for them.
Yeah.
So. But then Ron Paul has, like, the most support of all the military.
Well, I don't know.
It's very strange.
It's weird how that stuff works.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, I wonder if Pastor Minkett's going to call in tonight and talk to us.
I don't think so. I think he's either trolling another show or protesting or something, because I think I really pissed him off the last time when I was laughing at him with the chicken coop thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he got upset about the chicken.
I was going to suggest to him, I didn't think about it at the time, but, you know, have us all pneumonians just beat over there and have a work day with him and kind of clean up his place and everything. And then what he needs to do is he can rent, I don't know if he's got, the way he talks, he owns like 3 or 4 houses in that one little cul-de-sac that he lives up in. He needs to
Right.
clean them up, fix them up, and rent them out to his warlords.
That makes a lot of sense, and then he would become a slumlord down there.
He could become like another Brother Stair and have him a community.
Well, that would be the beginning of his 10,000 Warlords project. You know. He'd have the trailers, he'd hook them up, and then he'd have like the Warlords, you know, he'd rent them out to the Warlords.
Yeah.
And then the Warlords would be responsible for keeping up the trailer park and everything.
I mean, they can make it clean, and they might even get a beautification award from the city of Granby, and, you know, it'd be on the news.
It sounds good. Sounds like a plan.
I think it's a good idea, but I don't think he'll take it.
I don't know, because he's still busy writing that lawsuit, so I don't know. How long has he been writing that lawsuit?
I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't even, you know, I don't know. I think they probably just look at the lawsuit and just laugh at him. I hate to say that. It's just silly how he does that stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I can understand he's got grievances against the government and everything, but, you know, goodness sakes, I mean, they aren't going to do, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah. Oh, I'm looking at the chat. I didn't notice, but it looks like the intern wants to call in. Is that correct, intern? I don't know. Okay. Hold on. I'll bring him on.
All righty.
Okay, here we go, the intern. Hello, intern.
Hey-ho, daddy-o. Now, you see, the problem was, you know, I didn't really explain this earlier, just for prognostication, just to be a smart-ass. You see, Marty's on his 10,000 Big Macs project, and he wiped out every McDonald's in Granby Mon vicinity by eating up the entire stock of Big Mac material in all the restaurants around there.
Yeah.
you know, hey. But
who do you think of the think is this spammer or this this troll who was going after Lindstedt?
That mess you played earlier?
Yeah.
That's weird shit.
It sounds like Tony McDaniel by pork butt, don't it?
I mean, all the years I pirate operated while I had an amateur radio license on my dad, I did a lot of strange stuff, but that outdid me.
Yeah.
I couldn't produce anything that strange. You know, that stuff he did sounded every bit as weird as there's this guy who was operating, the mail drop was in Washington, D.C., but all these really strange stations, I mean, WBST 666 and just a whole bunch of strange, very unusual pirate operators, it sort of came out of that mail drop, and it sounds like the kind of mess he would create, that you would hear from this station that had the mail drop in Washington.
Wow.
Very weird stuff.
I don't know why you know, it is just, we have to figure out who this guy is and, you know, get down to the bottom of this. I don't know who this person is.
And this Vancouver, this douchebag, I mean, I wasn't sure because, you know, somebody like earlier that night had called you up and was playing your program back at you. And I thought that might have been the case, but apparently you actually called the douchebag.
No, well, I don't know. Somebody was playing my show, calling into his show and playing my show back at him. And I don't know. Then people were doing this whole impostering thing, calling in as News Guy 2005, or like there's some way that they can alter the text and they can put in a different character set. And even though it looks like News Guy 2005, it's not really me. So they were able to do this, and I don't know. Then this Van Wadi guy, he just got all bent out of shape. So I don't know.
I mean, I got the name mixed up and said, what was it, Alex Cooper? Was that actually Bill Cooper, I meant to say. Bill Cooper, I remember, he was you call him up. I never did. I usually do call up people that kind of personality, you know. But he had a very short temper, I remember. And this Vancouver guy has the same sort of obnoxious, short-tempered personality. I can't stand him.
But he never records.
Say it in short, he's a douchebag. Okay?
But, yeah, I don't understand why he does a show, because he never records it. And, like, the few times that I've listened to it, I've just bailed out because it's just him, like, just eating a sandwich and telling people not post too much on his chat room. People post a question, and then they post a follow-up question, and then they post a third question. And
hey, listen.
You're taking over the chat room. I have to put you on mute. That,
you know, you mentioned something there with the sandwich. I remember I got onto the AM window once or twice, you know, I wasn't very successful at the AM section in the rig I was using. It wasn't the greatest. But there was this guy, Herbie, that was on there. And others did it, but he had this tendency, you know, he would talk for a little bit, right? And then he'd get up, you know, and then he'd make a sandwich, and then he'd feed the dog, and then he'd talk to the dog a little bit, and then he'd come back to the mic and start talking again. And this was a constant habit with some of those old codgers on the 80 on that 80-meter window, just leaving the mic open, farting for everybody to hear and whatever.
That was like what happened with that guy Clay Douglas, and he still has a show over on Blog Talk Radio. For a while, he had a show on Hal's Network, And he was some sort of a patriot. He still is this, like, patriot guy, you know. But then he was in a motorcycle accident, and he
Clay Douglas.
Clay Douglas, that's right, Clay Douglas. And he got into a motorcycle accident, and he was off for a while. But then when he came back, there was one show. It was the most amazing thing. He started off the show where he was talking about where he couldn't get on to it was something about where people were coming in the middle of the night to fix the cable. Something like this. He doesn't know what's going on. So then right in the middle of the show, he just decides to call into the cable station, into the cable company. So he does a conference call while he's on the show with the cable company. So it's just him, like, calling in to this thing and being put on hold and all of this stuff. It was just really, really weird. Really, really weird.
Are you sure he wasn't overdosing on Ambien?
I don't know.
Well,
I don't know.
Well,
what
you know, because Ambien is like a sleep inducer, but people have, like, you know, slept. They were sleep driving and sleep eating and sleep working and shit like that.
Well, maybe he was on some sort of, because he was just having an accident. You know, he just had that whole, he was still recovering from his motorcycle accident. So, and apparently from what they were saying, I mean, it was a pretty bad accident that he had. So let's just put it that way.
And some of those painkillers can do some really unusual things. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. So, but he still has a show on Blog Talk Radio. So,
well, I hope he's doing better than my old man. I found out he's snorting pain meds, so I don't know what that is.
Oh
my goodness! Yeah,
snorting pain.
Yeah.
Huh.
I didn't know about
what kind
this. Probably oxy.
So you crush it up and then you snort it like cocaine or something?
Apparently.
Yikes. Interesting.
That's a good way of screwing up your brain real good, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oish. But I don't know. Those drugs, the prescription drugs, are even worse than the illegal ones. You know.
Oh yeah.
And
Ron Paul has this is the reason why he's sort of hit it popular with a lot of the younger folk. His stance on that whole, war on drugs thing. I mean, we tried the whole, we tried the whole prohibition thing, and the laws in California that they have now might not be such a bad thing. It can't be any worse than the alcohol, really. I mean, alcohol is really bad stuff. I know from experience.
Yeah. Well, the whole thing is like, okay, like here in Iceland, right? Alcohol is severely regulated. You can only buy alcohol, even beer, through these government stores. And you can go and you can buy them. You can go to a bar and buy a pint of beer or whatever. But if you want a bottle of wine, if you want a case of beer, you have to go through these government regulated stores. They're government owned stores.
Yeah, just like in New England.
Yeah, and it's a very nice experience. The shopping experience is very nice. It's really well done, and you feel very nice going there. But it does have a way of making you not want to go and buy a lot of alcohol. Because not just because it's expensive, but there are only a few of these locations throughout the city. And so you go there more than once, and you're seeing the same people, and it's like you start to feel weird. It's like, uh-oh, these people are seeing me.
Big brother is watching me.
Yeah, and then you start to think about, like, how much alcohol am I drinking and all of this. So you tend to stop. But then the standards of the that the government have on alcohol here are so strict that it really makes for a very good good quality of alcohol, of beer and everything else. And I was thinking about that, you know, why not apply that concept to, say, marijuana, you know, because when you buy something off the street, you don't really know what you're getting. I mean, somebody could tell you that it's marijuana and it's pure, but, I mean, they could be putting things into it. You don't know what. You don't know what the THC level is on these things.
You could be buying the right now.
New guy.
You could... That's right. You could be buying twigs, nothing but twigs and seeds, or you know, and just very dry, nothing. You know, you could get ripped off on that level also. So why not just, you know, legalize it, make money, revenue off it, and then tax it, but then also regulate it so that, all right, you would know that there was you would have the THC level at a certain point. You'd have the quality standards and these types of things, but then you'd also put the money into rehabilitation and other things like that.
Yeah.
So that people would not become addicted to it.
Because
know?
I can tell you, like I said, I live in the county, but I have the fortune, in some cases misfortune, of going into the big city every day. And I tell you what, they need to clear out or create some more beds for these addicts because they make the transportation riding rather unpleasant.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of them are hopping up. You're right. They're hopping a ride over to Johns Hopkins Bayview to get their stuff, and then a lot of them get off at another stop to buy illegal stuff on the same bus line.
Well, I don't know. That seems to be a problem, but
yeah.
Well, you know, it is too bad that people have these problems.
With
drugs, but. But if you look at, like, say, like, all right, Portugal has legalized all of its drugs, and they have seen a decrease in drug use. It's not where everybody is going, and people aren't even going there to party. You know, it's not like a party destination like the way that the Netherlands had its problems. But, you know, when people are caught with marijuana or any of these drugs, you know, then they're put in front of some sort of a tribunal. A tribunal is maybe the wrong word, but maybe like a panel, you know, and they determine what's going on with the person and they say, okay, you know, you need therapy or you need treatment or whatever like this. And it actually reduces the drug use in the country. So... It turned out to be a very positive thing and not a negative thing, and it wasn't where people were just running out and buying kilos of cocaine or anything like this. You know?
Actually, I was going to say the Portuguese make some rather nice wines.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. That is true.
Well, I tell you, I'm watching. A second, I keep switching. I'm watching this whole election thing, and this is the most unusual election season I have seen since I was able to vote in 1986.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, you know, how come Herman Cain was forced out? Well, maybe that was just because of some sort of personal pressure on him, you know, but, and like Newt continues, you know, maybe that has to do with something about the persons themselves. Like Herman Cain, with all of his sexual harassment issues and everything that came out, and then that woman said that she had the affair with him, maybe that really did affect him on a personal level with his wife, you know, and hurt the relationship, you know, and then, But then,
I was
like, going
to sound like Frank here. They're trying to take out the successful black man.
That's right. That's right. But then Newt, he doesn't care. I mean, like, look, he was already with this woman and all of that stuff. But, you know, it's very strange. I think that's what the difference was. I mean, like, at least, like, with Newt's wife, she was already the intern. She was already, you know, the other woman. So, you know. Yes.
I'd say the second only be one intern.
Just a moment. Got some breaking news.
Oh.
Got some breaking news that just popped up on my Facebook. Former Penn State coach Joe Paterno dies at age 85.
Mm.
Ah!
Now.
Well, now, okay. If it comes out that he, you know, that he, you know, he was trying to stop it, then I'll apologize. But, you know, I don't, I'm not shedding any tears here.
I'm going to say, rather sardonically, said, I hope he wasn't trying to pull, you know, what a lot of those Nazi leaders were doing in The Hague and offing themselves.
No, I don't think so.
I doubt it. It's just a wacky thought. That's all.
Frank and Wigger's trying to be friends with you on Facebook?
Yeah.
That could be interesting.
He also posted a little bit up on the chat here saying when you were talking about living in Iceland, he said something about
I saw that, the fantasy about living in Iceland.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, all y'all, I was running a website, and I was doing recording George Gentry, that Nettle WWCR, and...
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And all that other stuff. And I knew exactly when this guy picked up the file. They came out with an Icelandic IP, so there now.
Oh, no. I figured that was some sort of an IP trap.
Well, no. It's just, I was just kidding. But the thing was, I mean, you know, when I was managing files, I just go over and, you know, just, you know, delete files and whatever and that sort of thing. It was just, you know, hey, if you were there, you're there. If you weren't, I don't give a shit, you know. But the point here is, you all are wrong. So actually, you probably got to worry about me more than Lloyd. All kidding aside, but you know, you're all just jealous. That's what it is. Y'all want to be up there, you know, where the air is cleaner and you got a lot less urban problems than probably where you're living at.
Right. Well, the other thing is about, like, with Newt, it's kind of weird because I heard some arguments being made, but I don't know. It doesn't really seem the appropriate argument to me because people were saying that he was a hypocrite because he was going after Bill Clinton for his infidelity scandal with an intern while he was at the same time fooling around with his own intern. But the whole issue about Bill Clinton with all of that was not about this guy getting a blowjob from his intern, but rather about the perjury. And nobody wants to talk about the whole perjury issue, and that's what it was.
I was going to throw that in. I knew.
And what was the point of – where did that perjury come from – a court case where he was accused of raping a woman. That was what, you know, that's where the perjury came from during where he was being disposed for a testimony on that with the other girl, with the Miss Arkansas, the Paula Jones, you know, so, you know, it has nothing to do with nude fooling around or having an affair with an intern. And neither was Bill Clinton's case either. It was not really about not about the blowjob. That's what the media turned it into. But it was really about very serious legal issues and the fact that if any one of us was found guilty of perjury, we'd be in jail. But this guy, you know, okay, he lost his law license. Whoop-de-whooped.
Yeah, it's things that it's really gotten to the point with me where you know they report these sort of things. Let's say they might go and try to the Fox might go and try to bake a Democrat, and then and then MSNBC will try to do the same thing and create these faux scandals and such. It's really gotten to the point where if I hear that sort of crap, it's just like in one ear, out the other, you know. But like I said, I was going to say that when it comes right down to it, you know, I think Joe Biafra said it best. Said, I'm not concerned about who they're trying to screw in private. I'm concerned about who they're trying to screw in public.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there's this other stuff, you know. It's like, give me a second. I switch ears here. But, it's just, who cares anymore? Who gives a rat's ass?
Felix in New Jersey says, I wish I could have blown Joel Pa's ass off with my shotgun.
Who?
Wow. Felix in Jersey has some anger issues here. I didn't. But, this is okay. But this is pretty interesting that he says that. But,
the main thing, the other thing is, there's a problem lately. I'll tune in CRP and there'll be a whole bunch of crickets, And it turns out, the show went on about 10 minutes too long, so. the crickets.
Now somebody on Nimbusters is saying Lloyd Scoop News Guy. Well, I wasn't following any feeds or any, anything like that. So, I'm very glad that Lloyd was on and that he was able to give the news. So thank you again, Lloyd.
Oh, yeah, and I was right. March 4th of this past year, Frank did refer to Newt Gingrich as a GOP retread.
Okay. See, there you go.
Dim says that I was listening to it at work for whatever reason. I have a couple of TRPs and a few of your shows, and if I can find them, put some of Lloyd's shows in there and make the boredom a little less boring.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Oh, that's all right. That's very good. That's all right. So,
I just got to dig up the computer because I have a whole bunch of Boa shows and Lloyd shows, and I don't know where the damn computer is at. And I kind of miss listening, especially Boa shows. They were the best.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they were very, very funny. I wish that Boa was still around. I'd like to get him on the show one time.
Yeah. Well, like I said, he has Twitter account, but, I think it might have been used Twitter, and he really didn't, reply or whatever, so.
Yeah, I don't know.
He just, I can understand that, if it has to do with Nimbusters, I can sort of understand him wanting to sort of separate himself from the target corral.
Yeah.
Perfectly understandable, after a while, Steve got tired of the BS and whatever, and I can't really say I blame the guy.
Yeah, but they keep targeting Steve Holston. I don't understand why they do that. And then they do that stuff with his son, Chris.
Oh,
please. Yeah, Steve definitely didn't do
that.
Hey, listen,
I think so.
I'll put it this way. you know, I might, you know, it can be kind of fun slinging mud around or whatever. But like with Lindstedt's wife, let's say, leave the gal alone. She doesn't have anything to do with them busters. You know?
Yeah.
You know, leave the women and the children out of it. Fight with the guy who's starting to fight.
That's right. That's what they used to do in the old days. You know.
And that's how they should do it now. If the kids aren't involved, especially the children, leave the hell,
right.
Leave them the hell alone.
That's
yeah.
Right. That's, but I don't know what Chris, I mean, not Chris, but I don't know what Steve did to deserve all of this stalking and become a TI like this. I mean, I don't
case,
really
I
understand.
Agree with that. I'd agree with you on that, on using that term to describe him. Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely a TI. And, you know, okay, you know, fine, we can all agree that the wife and the kids should be left alone, but I don't understand why they're going after him in the first place.
Yeah.
I mean, he just used to post dick, like a picture of his penis there or something. Like that was supposed to be his penis. I don't know if it really was, but that
you
was the only thing.
That
fit.
Do you really
what
think
was that,
that,
Lloyd?
Do you really think that was him posting that? I don't think that was him posting that.
No.
That's right. It may not have even been him. It may have just been some imposter saying that it was him. You know.
I bet you. You know. You know, what's his name? Stan will look at it. There's probably 25 different people doing it. He could look at the logs and say, well, it's probably 20 different people doing it. I wouldn't be surprised if that was the case.
Yeah.
Bored individuals.
Mm-hmm.
Very bored, have nothing to do with their time except to screw with people.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, people, you know, I know it's kind of cold right now, but, you know, when I'm running around March or maybe April comes, why don't you fucktards go the hell outside and enjoy life? Why are you trying to computer all the time? Shit, I mean, come on, really. That's what your life is. You heard about the guy apparently has us hooked up to a TV set and he's watching movies while I'm posting on the NIM board.
Oh, well, that's okay. That's all right.
Yeah, but, you know, it's all day long. I don't think so.
I want to know who the guy. I want to know who the guy is who steals the lobster from the supermarket.
What?
There's some guy who goes into the supermarkets with a big winter coat full of empty pockets, and he fills up the pockets full of canned lobster, and then he just... He walks out. I don't know why. I mean, I don't know who that.
I'll have to tell you. I have to find out this particular program and email to you. But that guy Gene Shepherd, he used to be he was a storyteller in WOR New York, and he said there was this one. There was he was just mentioning some of the strange crimes that happened, and this guy went to a restaurant in New York, and the guy was a little bit drunk, but. He had enough wits about him. You know how they have the tank with the lobsters, you know, and they're swimming around there in some of these restaurants? Well, this guy grabbed the lobster in just the right place and pulled him out of the tank and swooped right down the 6th Avenue.
Wow.
And that's so hard to do because, you know, it could take these guys, that catch the lobsters, it could take them up to 10 minutes to try to get one, a particular lobster out. He just went, it was like a snake, he went and grabbed it and ran down the road with it.
Yeah. Well, they got to free the lobsters, you know. I've never boiled a lobster live. They say that it screams when it dies.
I don't know.
I just think that's the sound. The whatever water or air is inside the shell being pushed out because of the heat.
All I know is about Chesapeake Bay crabs, and I never heard anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's sort of tradition here, you know, get some people get chicken necks, but, you know, just, You know, they'll grab a whole bunch of these crustaceans out of the water and throw some beer and some of this seasoning. I gave some to Frank and John, actually. And then put some of the seasoning there, you know, to steam it. Listen, I never heard anything come out of a crab, so I doubt it.
You gave lobster to Frank and John?
No, the seasoning. It's like a local brand of seasoning.
Okay.
Yeah, it's called, was it Old Bay, and it's like indigenous to Maryland. This is the only place really, Maryland is the only place, maybe Maryland and Delaware is the only place you can really buy this seasoning. Because it's mainly meant for Chesapeake Bay consumption for the most part. You know, they never intended to sell to any other part of the country. So,
Hey, Lloyd, this Frankenwigger who's trying to friend you on Facebook. What is his? How is he spelling that?
What do you mean?
You were saying that Frankenwigger was trying to friend you on Facebook.
Yeah.
What? How does he spell his name?
F R A N K W I E W H I G G R.
Okay.
Two G's.
Dick Reltney's in the room. I believe that's Lindstedt.
Yeah, I saw that. But F R A N K E N W H I G G E R.
Yeah, the one in there that's now, I believe that's the real Frankenwigger.
Okay. Because I'm not seeing any Frankenwigger. I'm doing a search on Facebook for Frankenwigger. I don't see any.
I have a Facebook account, but I only know one or two people, really. So I only send invites to them.
I don't have a problem with them. Like, if Frank and Wigger wants to be friends on Facebook, news guy, but the only thing I'm afraid of is he might go into my pictures and post my pictures on the Nimboard.
And he's going to find out who all your friends are, and then he's going to start stalking them.
Yeah, that's the only thing I'm really worried about. I mean, you know.
Should I unblock guest number 6 now? If Dick Valenti is actually Pastor Lindstedt, why do I need to unblock guest number 6? Because Dick Valenti, because Pastor Lindstedt, as Dick Valenti, can post as Dick Valenti. He doesn't have to post as guest number 6. So, I don't know why I have to unblock guest number 6.
Check the board out here real quick. Oh boy, this sounds familiar. Newskike, you delusional Brooklyn kike, why have you muted the guest? See, I wonder who that sounds like.
Maybe I'll start turning into Van Wadi and I'll start blocking people like Hiram. He's using his other laptops to troll other sites. But how is he able to? Okay. All right. I don't get it. He's using his other. It's like some sort of a very complicated operation that he's got going on over there.
I tell you, some of the stuff goes on Nimbusters remind me of all that stuff that was going on with Herbie and that gang over on 14313 all those years ago.
Yeah. It kind of reminded me of that when I listened to Lindstedt's show Sunday night, intern. It reminded me of a day of 14313 where you had what's his name? Who's the big jammer on there? Captain America and all them people and everything. I mean, dumbass Donnie and Frank and all them yahoos.
And that what's that guy's VE7KFM?
Yeah, he's in Canada.
go on YouTube. They archived a lot of stuff. He is interesting, to say the least.
Yeah. Well, how do you spell his name?
VE7KFM.
Oh, VE7KFM.
He especially doesn't like Americans.
Ah, okay.
But the thing he isn't even Canadian. I think he comes from Hungary or someplace in Eastern Europe.
I don't get on. I haven't listened to the short 20 meters a long time. Intern. While I've got you here, let me pull up something here. The FCC came out the other week or something, went ahead and reaffirmed K1MAN's. Let me see. I guess, let me find ARRL on Facebook here.
Yes, sir. I read it, but refresh my mind on that.
They went ahead and reaffirmed his fine or something.
Yeah, the notice of apparent liability and all the other stuff they had aimed against him over all those years. Well, I like what they did. I mean, what K1MAN did. I'm just joking when I say this because apparently. What was his name again? K1MAN.
News guy? News guy?
Yes.
Now they're saying breaking news here on Facebook saying reports of Penn State coach Joe, former Penn State. I can't talk. Joe Paterno's death
he's
is
not,
untrue. So either he's dead or he's not dead. I don't know.
But anyway,
I was looking up, doing a Google search, and I couldn't find anything about him being dead.
Yeah, but anyway, Lloyd, he was able to get a very senile Walter Cronkite to record an ID for a station, and he was torturing Walter with it over several years. The guy would not stop playing this ID that Walter had cut for him.
And then I guess it got him a lot of problems or something, right?
What's that?
I guess it got him a lot of problems.
Who, Walter?
Yeah.
Well, he said it damaged his reputation, but the way the CBS reported news over years, his reputation was already diminished anyway. So what's the difference?
Right. Yeah. You know, it's very strange because, I don't know, we'll just have to see what happens. But now they're saying in the chat, hold on. Now they're getting mad at me because I'm not unblocking guest number 6.
Well, that's Lynn said, isn't it?
But I don't understand. If he's also Dick Reltney... Reltney. Why can't he just post as Dick Reltney? Why do I have to unblock guest number 6? See, because what I'm thinking is that they want me to unblock guest number 6, and guest number 6 is really the spammer, and he's going to start spamming the message board.
Yeah.
Because why would Reltney, why would Lindstedt post be up there as Dick Reltney and guest number 6 at the same time? Even if he was using two laptops, he could just post his Dick Reltney,
I understand.
So, I don't know. I'm kind of tempted to unblock guest number 6.
Uh-oh. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
There's always ways to control the tards if it turns out to be one, so.
Yeah.
But what would you do with them? Somebody said it takes a whole bunch of tards to make up the turd.
Well, actually, I'm thinking of just wrapping up the show myself because it's almost 2:30 in the morning here anyway.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. So anyway, thank you guys.
I'm going to try to do a show sometime this week on my blog talk.
Oh, that sounds good. I'll definitely call in.
I'll try to do a show, but I only get a 45-minute show, so you know we'll talk about. I may do a show. Might be Thursday sometime. I'll do a show.
Okay.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with eventually thinking of switching that over to TalkShoe where you've got unlimited time. So.
Well.
Yeah.
You know, with Blog Talk, I can easily keep everything in check on Blog Talk.
Oh, yeah.
Well, TalkShoe seems to be, you know,
Wild West.
Out of control.
Yes.
And, you know, and I just don't. But I really do wish that maybe Pastor Minset would try to take up my suggestion, maybe getting a co-moderator for his show so that no one can show or anything, you know. Maybe get Frank and Wigger or Northwest or somebody to kind of be on the other end to take over in case something were to happen, or maybe they can get the keys to one of his string names or something, and they could take over. You know. I mean, just a suggestion to help him out.
Yeah. But I think he should just – what he should do is just block people from – he should mute everybody. He should just have it mute all. And then block the chat also.
And you know, Eli James should unblock his chat so we can screw with him. Just kidding.
Yeah. But you know, people can post if you're logged in, so it's no problem.
Yeah.
You know, that's the whole thing.
All right. Well, I'm gonna hop off here. Y'all have a good one there, and take it easy.
All
okay
right,
then. Luck pulling in there.
Hey,
I can let go. Okay, bye-bye. All right, that was the intern. And any last thoughts there, Lloyd?
Not really. Hope you have a good week and everything. And don't know when Joe Paterno's going to pass on. I don't know.
Maybe we'll help him. We'll push him over the edge there.
All right, you have a good night.
All right, then. You too. Bye-bye. Okay, that was Lloyd Davies, ladies and gentlemen. And, yes, and this is the news guy. And next week, we'll see you all next week. And I'm going to be heading off to Betty Bye because I'm very tired right now. Anyway, all right. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, come on. This is not fair. That Pastor Linsett has finally called in, because I'm going to be going to sleep right now, and I'm very tired, and I want to go to sleep. Well, okay, I'll let Linsett see, because 10 minutes turns into a half an hour with this guy. Anyway, all right, we'll have him on. Hello, Pastor Linsett.
Yeah, well, I usually, you know, well, it's better than Pope Marty, I guess. Yeah, also for Mr. Linsett. Anyway,
hey, but let me ask you, were guest number six.
Why the hell are you blocking your guest?
Because of what happened to your show, I don't want it to happen to my show.
Well, then what you do is you go ahead, you go ahead and click block the guest. If it gets real bad,
I blocked
the guest.
I blocked all the guests.
Then what
already.
You do is that.
I don't
when
want anybody in
control
there and start spamming the
chest.
Show like the way they spammed your show, and then all of a sudden they took it over like that. I don't want that to happen
to
my show.
It wasn't the quote guests who did that shit. It was people called in here. It was Nimbusters called in, like, you know, Chat Newcomb and the rest here. What I ended up having to do was just simply block the entire thing and then unblock it. And then you still had these cards, and after they got tired of that shit, they went ahead and, you know, quit after a while.
Have you fixed the settings on your show where people are not going to be able to just call in and speak automatically?
Well, I did go ahead, and I went in after what? What happens is I was pretty sure it's unknown fucktard who was dicking around with it, and I went ahead and looked at it in WavePad. And when one of the tards was pretending to be a, 9-year-old nigger from Atlanta, essentially, if you go ahead and look at the sine waves on the thing, it goes ahead and shows that it was pretty well truncated above the baseline. It wasn't a total sine wave. So, essentially, you know, it came in, an unknown fucktard got a little bit impatient here, and he put in dog sounds here, and then when he got named, he went ahead and called in. So, pretty well,
I decoded it a bit, and I want you to hear it, because you didn't hear it before. So, here's a little bit of it.
And I'd like to take a minute, just sit right there. I'll tell you how I became the prince of a town called Bel Air. In West Philadelphia, born and raised on the playground where I spend most of my days chilling out, napping, relaxing, all cooling, all shooting some people outside of the school when a couple of guys, they're up to no good, started making trouble in my neighborhood. I got in one little fight and my mom got scared and I said, you're moving with your auntie and uncle in Bel Air. I whistled for a cab and when it came near, the license plate said fresh and I had a Dyson mirror.
So there you have it. I don't know. It really doesn't sound like UF to me.
Well, essentially, what happens is sound like UF here. Looking back, I was pretty sure it was UF here. And, you know, because I've listened to his voice here before, you know. And what happens is he's just like another tard when you catch him here. What happens, he immediately got to go ahead and call in, introduce himself as UF, in order to go ahead and claim, no, it wasn't me, no, it wasn't me, no, it wasn't me. But anyway, looking back on it, you know, I mean, you know, it's not like I've seen, you know, haven't seen TARDs before, and ain't like I ain't seen trolls before. Hell, I do a bunch of it. What I do is I got three laptops, and essentially the Toshiba number one is the oldest. Its hard drive is almost full. It's, you know, pretty well, real slow. The Toshiba number two is real, real, real fast. And the compact number one is, well, it's pretty fast. So what happens is that I went ahead and logged on about a few minutes to 6 o'clock as guest number six, and I seen that all the guests were blocked. Well, hey, no big deal. I mean, essentially, your show isn't the main one. I mean, you know, pretty well. I'm saving the chat in case that I see something that's useful. But pretty well, what I do, mainly my main spamming computer is Toshiba number two because it's very quick. You know, it only got, about a third of the hard drive. I went ahead, nuked it recently, you know, to go ahead and get essentially what's a brand new computer out of the box. The you know, the keyboard isn't wore out, you know, all the other good stuff. And essentially, you know, most of the time, what was going on is that Legal Man Johns, Legal Man 2012 Johns, has pretty well gone all together to think here, and he's betraying old Commander McBragg, or Steve Elder, who went ahead and, you know, told him how to cure his, you know, try to go ahead and cure his Crohn's. So essentially, Steve Elder is on, you know, is pretty well being, you know, outed here. Somebody had a picture of, Steve Elder, and I don't think it's the real one. But essentially, what happens is that you have Fink going ahead and getting involved. So Fink's going to be putting it on his John 844 site. And essentially, what between me and Fink, you know, going against, you know, Steve Elder, you know, essentially Steve Elder is pretty well just beat up because he got a beater wife named Hilda Serpius, and pretty well we know his address. And essentially, these blowhards, well, once you go ahead and know their name and you know where they live, essentially they turn out a whole lot nicer, just like Brian Rio did. I mean, you know, a couple weeks before he got outed as Brian Rio, he was threatening to go ahead and shove a spear up some 86-year-old elderly woman in a wheelchair's head. You know what I mean? He was really acting like a total ass clown. Well, essentially, once you get to know, you know, who you're talking to and where they live, essentially, they turn a whole lot nicer. Now, the thing about it is that, you know, what happens is that Toshiba number one, which is set to the Dick Reltney, I mean, essentially, you know, it's the one that I don't log off. I mean, I go ahead and keep the Dick Reltney thing, and usually I go ahead and then use the Chrome, because the Chrome's quicker than the other stuff. So, essentially, I have all four computers running, but tonight I haven't even bothered listening to Finkle Shitty. You know what I mean?
Oh.
You know, pretty well. It's all been trolling, you know, Eli James here. And essentially, Eli relies upon guests in order to go ahead and bring in new characters, not the same old Mamsers who know he's a Jew. So what he does is that he, you know, old McBragg goes in and whines like a pussy. And he was pretty scared tonight, old McBragg was. I'm not scared. Well, you know, I mean, he went ahead and refused to answer, you know, troublemaker Russ Walker's question, do you have a Hispanic wife? He refused to answer that question. You know what I mean? So essentially tonight, I've been mainly concentrated on screwing with Steve Elder, McBragg, whatever. And pretty soon he's going to be kicked out of Covington's Northwest Front because Covington can't be seen having a Jew. You know what I mean?
Right.
So,
especially.
What's funny is that what I'm looking for, and the reason I go ahead and do the trolling, is essentially I'm looking for the mother lode where Steve Elder allegedly said about 3-4 months ago that if he ends up getting outed and somebody goes ahead and gets his beaner wife kicked out of her government job, he's going to go ahead and go postal. You know, that would be the freaking mother lode. You know what I mean?
Yeah. What would you do with that information?
Hmm?
What would you do with that information?
Well, essentially what happens, Eli James is pretty well, he's the most dangerous because he's been around since the, well, he claims late 1979. Wickstrom claims different. And essentially what he's doing, he's going along with Angelo DeCesar Truett, Mo Gullett, pretending to be a Christian identity pastor, but he's been kicked out of the Klan since August 2010. You know, essentially, Eli James and the rest here, they're getting outed. You know, essentially outed as Jews and Mamsers. Old Steve Elder, I mean, shoot. You want you to know his name, want you to know his real address, want you to know pretty well everything about him. He can't pretend to be an Aryan if essentially what he is, he's a part Jew who's bleeding out the asshole from Jew ass cancer or Jew, you know, Crohn's. He has a beaner wife who works for the government. And essentially, you know, I mean, Covington can't go ahead and afford to keep him around. So the whole point is to go ahead and, I mean, there's no downside. There's no downside. I mean, Eli James is already tarred, and so is Fink, with essentially bringing in a dirty little Mamser like Brian Rio. Essentially, if you go ahead and bring to where, hey, you got another little Jew Mamser, you know, who's race mixing or something like that, Steve Elder, Eli James won't have very much, you know, I mean, you know, Eli James will be ridiculed here. And what is interesting is that I think this was the actual legal man 2012 Johns. The other one who went ahead and outed his address had an underscore behind it. But old legal man came in with a picture from Flickr, essentially, and I don't think it's a real picture. I don't think it's a real picture at all. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because Steve Elder is, what, 54? And this wigger who has a beaner and he's going ahead and showing a multiracial front, you know, he looks like he's about, 15 years younger. I don't think it is, you know, McBragg. But what is interesting is that from what I gather, Fink is either putting it up on John 844 site or is about to. You know what I mean? Because
what would you do? Like the one guy you said that you were waiting to see if he would go postal, like he would write this, if he would go postal if his wife lost his job. What would you do with that information?
Well, essentially, what I'd go ahead, I mean, I'm looking for the mother load. There's a rumor that, what, two, three months ago, McBragg threatened that he would go postal if his, you know, someone said, well, what if Fink or Lindstedt go ahead and reveal, you know, your real name, your real address, and your wife's name and address. In fact, she works for the government, and she here, you know, here's the state of Washington, a rather liberal government. Essentially, what happens is that, you know, see, McBragg is a Jew, and he goes ahead and he uses squaw wife, you know, pretty well as a hardworking squaw wife. Essentially, if she ends up losing a government job, I mean, McBragg won't have anything to live off. He's a hardcore unemployable. He's been unemployed for 3 years.
Right, but if you if you're on a chat room and you see this guy, he writes, if my beaner wife goes loses her job, I'm going to go postal. That's the mother load for you. What do you do with that information?
Well, essentially what happens, you go ahead and you hand it to Covington to have him look at it, so say, look, you got somebody, you got a Jew with Jew-ass cancer who's married to a beaner with a government job who said he's going to go postal. It's essentially, you know, essentially she loses her job, he's going to go postal. I mean, it's just sort of like going ahead, you know, Covington scared shitless that essentially he was going to go ahead. You remember when old, that little Jew, screwed up Jew boy, Gerald Lochner, went ahead and scrambled that little Kikas, you know, Congress Kikas' brain, you know, and shot the federal judge? Covington was just pissing, and shitting, scared that he was, you know, a little tard who had his Northwest Republic and that he'd be in trouble for it, you know what I mean? Remember when Timothy Bay, you know, supposedly blew up the Murrow Building, and essentially here he had a copy of the Turner Diaries?
So this would be the evidence that you would take to Covington to get this guy kicked out?
Pretty well, you know, just pretty well. No, no. What happens is that the evidence already is going to where, hey, look, Covington says no Jews in the Northwest. Well, guess what? Here's Steve Elder. He's a part, you know, he used to be claimed to be a proud Tubalcanite, you know, well, proud Pict. I went ahead and pointed out that a Pict is essentially a Tubalcanite, a non-flood Tubalcanite. I mean, essentially, he's descended from Cain. He's a Kenite that migrated and was not in the Great Flood because it was in the Tarim Basin. And essentially, the Picts were Jews, are sort of Jews.
Yeah, but then if somebody goes and they says, I'm going to go postal about if such and such things happen, then, all right, you take that to Covington, somebody else, maybe the authorities, maybe the police, perhaps?
No, I'm not going to take it to the police.
No.
You never talk to, you know, I mean, essentially, I'm not like Eli James or Brian Real. I don't go squealing to the, you know, pigs or the Secret Service. Now, they can
why would you call this guy who writes, I'm going to go postal, why would you call I'm going to go postal the mother load? Why would that be the mother load?
It's the mother load because essentially you have somebody who's not altogether rational, who is part Jew, another Gerald Lee Lochner. If you're going ahead and leaving, a white nationalist site, do you want a crazoid, hardcore, unemployable Jew boy with a beaner wife here who's just gone ahead and who's threatened to go postal? Would you want him on your membership rolls?
Right.
Okay.
But if the guy is just, if like the guy is saying, all right, no Jews, and then you've already proven the guy is a Jew, that's enough, don't you think?
Well, yeah, it's enough here. But essentially, we didn't have an actual, what happens, I had a name about, 4 months ago or so. I mean, essentially, you know, Christian identity, above-ground Christian, dual-feed-line Christian identity, is just wall-to-wall Jews and Mamzers. You know, Fink, Eli James, Dan Johns. I mean, heck, you know, and Dan Johns was known to be a Jersey, you know, a New Jersey Jew back in 2004 when August Kreis and Bradley Jenkins wanted to beat his ass here, you know, at a Klan meeting.
Right.
And essentially, Eli James went ahead and saved him from the ass beating. And essentially, old Dan Johns still don't like Morris Gillette here because Bradley Jenkins used to be his buddy, even though August Kreis was his rival. And I've already talked about August Kreis here. Essentially, you know, the above ground dual seed like Christian identity, you know, movement is just wall to wall Mamzers and Jews. And that's why during the last couple months I've gone ahead and got real live Israelites, be they Keith Southworth and be they Logan Hunter. And Logan has some rather zany ideas, like Angela Merkel is Adolf Hitler's half-Jew love child here, or something like that here. And, I don't believe that myself here, but, you know, essentially, I do like Logan, although he's sometimes, you know, a little bit, you know, well, every time she calls up, Roxy goes ahead and she answers the house phone. Roxy goes ahead and wiggles her finger around her head, points at the phone here before she gives it to me here. But anyway, huh? Roxy don't really hate him, but Roxy thinks he's sort of nuts. She's sort of nuts here. But in any case, the thing about it is that, you know, here he is. He's, you know, essentially he's a Jew. He got a Jew genetic disease. And essentially he has a, you know, what happens, Russ got blocked here for essentially, you know, saying, well, is it true? And, you know, Steve Elder would not go ahead and answer. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
So I'm pretty sure we got his name, we got his address, we got his wife's name, you know, and, you know, pretty well, once you end up having just a little bit of information like that, essentially the rest of it's going to go ahead and come out. But essentially what happens is that, you know, if you go ahead and listen to, you know, Thursday's talk show, essentially this stuff, you know, this stuff is coming out here. And essentially, I think that Covington, you know, Covington will have no choice but to go ahead and get rid of Steve Elder. And essentially, if you end up having Steve Elder, he's a Jew, with, you know, being her wife, he's affiliated with Eli James. Eli James is blocking people at Steve Elder's request. Essentially, you have Jews going ahead and sponsoring other Jews to pretend to be Aryans while they're screaming and howling about Jews. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, you're asking me why I didn't go ahead and do it. I mean, I've already explained to you. I got, what, 4 computers running. And essentially, I meant to go ahead around 6 or 7. I meant to go ahead and log in as Dick Rolney and tell you unblock guest number 6. But it doesn't really matter, you know, because, you know, I mean, you know, I sort of think it's stupid. You know, it's not really the guests who cause the trouble. Uh-huh. What it is it's these characters with, like, oh, Dick Reaver or Washington T.I., you know, Com or whatever.
Because I had the one guy, Frank, he was a different spelling, Frankenwigger.
Yeah, it's Frankenwigger. Franken, W-I-G-G-E-R.
Yeah, with 3 G's.
You don't have as much to worry about because essentially most of the almost all the spammers are NIMBusters. You know what I mean?
I troll.
I don't spam. And, I troll. I don't spam. You know what I mean? And generally what it boils down to is that essentially I heckle. And pretty well Dan Johns. I mean, it's gotten to where, you know, if you pretend to be a nigger, they'll let you on, you know, pretty well forever. But if there's even just the slightest bit of slyness here, why, they assume it's me, and essentially they go ahead and block these people. Man, what's sort of funny, though, is that several times they'll claim it's me, and essentially I was tired or I pretty well missed the show. And essentially you have a lot of people who are trolling, pretending to be me, or pretend to be John Britton, essentially trolling the crap out of the chat room when essentially I'm, you know, too tired or too busy to mess with it. Okay? But, you know, see, Saturday night is about the worst night because essentially you have three shows, Finkelstein Easy Liars and yours. And essentially what I do is I log on, usually using the contact number 1, you know, when you go ahead and show up a full hour before the rest of them do, okay?
Then what happens
is that usually I'm ready to go ahead and troll. You know, I go ahead and log on, usually as Dick Reltney, to the Finkelstein show, let them know that I'm watching so that they'll go ahead and be good and paranoid. And then on Toshiba number 2, I'm trolling the crap out of you liars. And then, if I want to go ahead and, you know, Elias got a little bit leery, you know, because he relies on guests to get more of an audience. So what he does is he goes ahead and blocks all the guests. He's screwed. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Wednesday night, essentially there's only one show. I end up having 4 guests here out of about 8 of them. And essentially as the night went on, he went ahead and I went ahead and used the higher number guests to troll first. Then I usually have a news pad called trolling. And essentially the meanest thing I can do, it's 150 characters or less. I go ahead and post something mean, and then I go ahead and pick up the next one, go ahead and get two trolls in, and then I go ahead and click off before I can be blocked. It stays up there. Okay? So essentially, I got trolling down to a fine art, but I don't spam. I do troll. And essentially, here are these characters. They're Jews. And they're screaming about Jews, members. Don't let anybody within the congregation who's not white. And here's Bill Fink. Here's Bill Fink going ahead, essentially letting the shit-colored mamzer like Brian Rio in. You know what I mean? And pretty well, the thing about it is that somebody wanted to finish off Commander McBragg, and essentially I didn't want him to finish off Commander McBragg. But he's determined to finish off Commander McBragg, so what I'm doing is essentially I'm the one who's trying to finish off Commander McBragg out of Covington. Covington doesn't need a Jew Mamzer who's bleeding out the ass with a beaner wife here who might or might not go ahead and go postal. Essentially, she ends up losing her job. I mean, the thing about it is that pretty well the people are not outing McBragg here, but if he ends up getting outed, I mean, once this thing continues here, what's so important is that old legal man, 2012 Johns, went ahead and essentially is getting Fink interest. And Fink will go ahead. Fink hates McBragg. So Fink will go ahead. He's going to go ahead and pile in on Eli, too. And essentially, once he goes ahead and gets to Fink, essentially McBragg is pretty well just a liability. And I'm not sure whether Eli James will go ahead and keep him on. I mean, it's going to look sort of stupid because Eli James is deemed a Jew. To have another Jew or two, like Dan Johns and Steve Elder, I mean, essentially, you might as well just go ahead and give it up. You know what I mean?
Mm. Right.
So anyway, it is
an art form. You've got it down to an art form, to say the least.
Oh yeah. Well, anyway, that is why, as guest number six, I don't think what happens is when you go ahead. Just like anybody else, you go ahead and you limit your audience. James sometimes wants to do. You go ahead and you limit your audience. Essentially, your audience
I noticed that this week that the show had fewer guests, fewer listeners, because I did block the guests like that. So, so I'll just have to.
What you do? Is you go ahead and about every 5 minutes, you go ahead and see if these guests are well-behaved. Guest number six has been in ever since 6 o'clock. And every time you see a well-behaved guest here, then you see one who goes ahead and acts up, what you do is you go ahead and mute everybody after that particular guest here. And if someone says, well, I'm about to go ahead and, I'm about to go ahead and lose it, you go ahead and then you unmute them. When you have control of your chat room, okay? Compact number one is a pretty stable computer. That's why I go ahead and use it to save the long-term chat. It has a chiclet keyboard, and it's really shitty for trolling because you can't type real quick using that damn, shitty chiclet keyboard. So essentially what happens is compact number one is the essentially the storage, the chat storage room. You know what I mean?
Yeah. called me your Jew yesterday.
Yeah, I've called you a Jew every fucking day. What do you mean? Why are you worried about yesterday?
I'm calling you. Where's the chicken coop going on there? What's going on with the chicken coop?
Oh, the chicken coop is not. The chicken coop got. The bitch had her, soon-to-be ex-husband, had her daddy, and had her Uncle Floyd tear the thing down here. This Tuesday, there was no meeting here.
What happened to the chickens?
There was no chickens in that chicken coop at the time. The bitch, you know, the bitch kept on threatening to go ahead and pull it down. And essentially what happens is I'd move the chickens from outside that chicken coop, outside this old house across the street, to another little shitty building, you know, which was just behind my main house here. Essentially right now, this city council critter is suing the city of Granby because essentially he asked for a special deal from the Granby city workers, and I guess they didn't do a good enough job. So he didn't pay him $500-some, and now he's suing the city of Granby for $3,000. Essentially, this is the way these crooked bastards work here. Essentially, they use the city, and they use city workers as their own private little labor force. You know what I mean? And that's why they're going to lose. That's why they're going to lose any lawsuit, because essentially it's not a matter of health and welfare. It's a matter essentially of TARS believing that they get to go ahead and use city money and city property to go ahead and do whatever the hell they want to do here, and then go after, you know, essentially you can't put a trailer house if you're a poor person, but hey, if you're one of our relatives, you get to go ahead and put whatever else you win and, you know, go ahead and tear down these old buildings that were already there and you knew were there whenever the hell you want to. And, you know, I mean, when this happened here, it was in March and April of 2005, and I was going to go ahead and send, you know, that bitch, her ex-husband, and the rest here, because, you know, supposedly it's a felony property structure. The property is worth over $750. Well, I valued that chicken house at $2,000, so I was going to go ahead and send. I was going to go ahead and send Roxy's two brothers, you know, the soon-to-be ex-husband, and the bitch, to prison. You know what I mean? Now, they wouldn't get prison for the first offense, but they become felons. You know what I mean? And they'd have to pay the $2,000. And that's what I went ahead and demanded at the city council. I demanded that bitch pay me $2,000 for my chicken house. I demanded that the city clerk hall, you know, city hall clerk pay $2,000. I demand $10,000 for, you know, $2,000 for four city council critters and five, you know, $2,000 for the mayor. And essentially, I demanded they go ahead and overturn all these laws they passed that they don't apply equally. And then I demand their resignation. Well, I didn't get any of that. You know what I mean? But, yeah. You know,
but now,
the 19th,
how many, you own a number of trailers, right?
No, I don't own any trailers. I mean, most of them are actually stone buildings.
Okay. And,
most
but they,
them,
how much renovation do they need?
Huh?
How much renovation do they need?
Don't need any reservation. You know, mainly they're just hollow old shells here. Did you ever see this thing, you know, Earth Without People? It sort of looks like Chernobyl after 25 years. I mean, essentially, you know, once the roof is rotted out, you know, out of the house here, I mean, essentially the rain goes in and falls in here. Essentially, if there's stone walls, them stone walls could last 200 years. But the whole yap about it, the whole claim about it is that they're not, you know, they're not healthy. Well, that's bullshit. Essentially, all it is just, you know, pretty well just stone walls. That's all it is. You know what I mean?
And they don't have any.
It's not hurting. It's not hurting anybody, huh?
Yeah, there's no roof. There are no floors. There's no wiring for electricity or anything inside.
Well, I don't know about it. There probably isn't any wiring for electricity. I mean, shoot. You know, that's one thing I'm going to say is that, hell, you know, most of your relatives are a bunch of thieves anyway. Hell, you can't even maintain. Used to go ahead and throw old air conditioners and shit like that here, old freezers or something like that here outside. Yeah. Nowadays, I mean, shoot, there ain't a week goes by that some tard wants to go ahead and offer to take this old car or freezer or air conditioner or whatever off my hands for free. You know what I mean? You dumbass.
Mm-hmm.
You dumbass. I mean, hell, it got copper wire. I mean, there's whole houses. It was on 60 Minutes about bank foreclosed houses to where essentially once the bank forecloses on it, they keep it at the same thing here, and then immediately all these thieves come in, they strip off the aluminum or vinyl siding, and they strip out every single freaking wire that there is. Now, it ain't so bad in Granby yet, but it's pretty bad all across the rest of this country. And if
so why don't you fix the homes up, and then you can
pick
rent them out. So you can rent them out.
We tried that. I tried that in the 90s.
You make a lot of money.
Oh, let me tell you how that works out here. Essentially, I went ahead and tried to rent out, you know, just go ahead and pay for the taxes, you know, and be nice to, you know, poor Grandy Anglo Mestizos. Rented it out for $100 a month, which was not much even back in the mid-90s. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And essentially what happens is that most of these people, rather than paying the $100 a month, would rather go ahead and spend it on meth or nigger weed or whatever, everything except for paying stuff here. And essentially, they would go ahead, then you'd have the, you know, Newton County pigs come in and break down doors and all this sort of shit here, you know, looking for their drugs, you know, essentially looking for their drugs, and then you'd have to worry about asset forfeiture, although I didn't have too much worry about that. And you'd also have, you know, I mean, shit, one of these worthless bastards not only didn't pay 3 months' rent, when they left, they stole the doorknob. You know what I mean? This was the worthless Patricks of, their name was Patrick here. They're a bunch of worthless Anglo Mestizo hybrid niggers. So, hey, you know, let me just tell you, I sort of got tired of renting. I sort of got tired of renting to Wigger and Anglo Mestizo trash around here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
$100 a month ain't a whole awful lot.
So you have, like, four buildings? How many buildings do you
four
have?
Four or five.
Do you also own the lots that they are on?
Well, the thing about it is I actually don't own them. I went ahead and loaned them out to my, I pretty well gave them to my nieces and nephews, and they're scattered all over the place. And pretty well the law requires that they get in touch with these people. You know what I mean?
I see.
Now, I've already told my worthless brother, he's trying to go ahead and tell him, you don't want to screw with Martin. Martin will sue your ass, and he'll take you to court, and essentially you're going to go ahead and spend a couple hundred thousand dollars in money. You know, on that. And essentially, that's what happened in the 90s. It says that three federal lawsuits going against the city of Granby. I mean, lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit, all boiling down from August 9th, 1994, what I call pig lice and council critter riot. I got assaulted by a council critter. I went ahead and punched him back. And then, pretty well, I got dogpiled by about five, you know, council critters and pigs here. Now, some of the, you know, some of the Newton County Reserve pig lice here were council critters.
When did that happen?
August 9th, 1994.
Uh-huh.
And then what happens, what was funny was the next week, here's John Ashcroft. He wants to, you know, claim that he was running for the United States Senate. He'd been turfed out, second term limited out as governor. He came back here, and essentially I went ahead and asked him a bunch of heckling questions here. And, you know, the chief of the Granby Pig Lice Board went ahead and whispered in his ear about the council critter riot that had occurred, let me see, 6 days before, 5 days before. This was August 14th. And old John Ashcroft looked at me and said, well, I'm sure he's a nice guy. And I said, you don't know me very well. I'm not a Boy Scout, and I'm not a nice guy. So anyway,
that sounds a little bit like Secret Service would get involved or something.
Why would Secret Service get involved with a pig lice and council critter riot, you know, in Granby? I remember
John Ashcroft.
He was running for U.S. Senate for his first term and only term. He ended up losing to this dead guy, you know, named Minstrel Show, Mel Hancock. And I sort of helped cause trouble for that, too, here. But anyway, a lot of people don't like me. But anyway, it was, anyway, I remember one time I took a break from going down there. And McCamishes, who they're big and strong because they're Jack the Leg McCanks. This was in the 90s. The father, the mother, and the kid got into a big old riot with the council critters and pigs here. I mean, there was another big fist fight. I mean, and hell, this was an epic riot. And I heard about it, and I went ahead and went over to them and said, damn it, Why did you have a pig life account from Critter Rock without me? I go on time here, and we have an epic pig life. I used to call it pig life account from Critter Riot. You had an epic pig life account from Critter Riot without me here. Next time you decide to go ahead and run a buck here, you notify me first so I can go ahead, you know, well, help you out. But that was in the 90s. Huh? Say what?
No, it's very funny. It's very funny. I'm just looking at the chat room. They're saying that you can rent 100 rooms. Oh, okay. Oh, they're showing a picture or something like this. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I went ahead and took a picture the other day of, you know, I took a picture from what I call the asparagus patch laundry of a hovel. You know what I mean?
The asparagus patch?
Yeah,
the asparagus.
Asparagus patch laundry.
Okay.
What happens to the dryer heater element? What, you know, is burnt out on it here. So for the past 6 months here, what I do is I go ahead and use a solar dryer. What I do is that I go ahead and I put some nichrome wire between the fence posts, and I go ahead and hang the laundry out across the street here. So I call it the asparagus patch laundry. Get it?
Yeah, now I get it. Yeah.
Okay. So anyway.
Marty, I've got to go because it's
and he's on the Marty. And I'll just go ahead and say hail victory, and you have a good one then, I guess, here. And looks like Eli James quit here, and Joe Pennsylvania is still there. So I want to go ahead and, you know, gloat about, you know, Steve Elder getting out of it. So I'll go ahead and say hail victory, and Yahweh bless. Good night. Okay.
Have a good night.
Bye
bye. All right, and that was Pastor Lindstedt, ladies and gentlemen, and this is the news guy and extended remix just now, and what happened with the sound here? What happened with my sound? Oh, there we go. Anyway, okay, and well, look, the chat room lit up again. Well, anyway, I'm going to be going to bed because I'm very tired. I was going to go to bed before, but now I'm very tired again. So, all right, ladies and gentlemen, I will speak to you next week, but hold on, wait a minute. Let me get the outro. I have to redo my outro also. So let me see here. Outro. All right, guys, until next week. Shamst, nice to viku, and bye-bye.
Folks, you always hear right wing and left wing. We want to tell you. The opposite of right isn't left. The opposite of right is wrong.
I nurse you. Be gone.